scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's the dawn of a new day. The world awakens. The birds twitter. A rooster crows. And soon, as always, will come that sound of music.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
Kevin and Bean Show is my life's inspiration of to be what I am inside me, that just bring it out and project what I have, what I got.
Oh, I had no idea you were a moron.
2 minutes on the dance floor. 2 minutes on the dance floor.
2 minutes. There's too many on the dance floor. We need to spread the out a little bit, create some lady space. Come on, new car, guys.
I think we're gonna tone down the language, right?
You, and definitely you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What you talking about, Wallace?
Roll another one.
My taste buds is going wild.
Just like the other one.
Jesus, but I drink a little.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Punk ass bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
This is why I come here every day.
B-hole has it over the A-hole for sure.
Just like the other one.
I'm not even gonna comment on that.
This one seems to be about to end.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, Kevin, Michael Clark Duncan is going to kick your cracker ass.
I don't want to guard that joint.
I drink your milkshake.
Just pass it around.
Well, once you get baked. Yeah, right.
Pass it on down.
And now.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show? How many people?
See.
Our feature presentation.
See, because I'm the one that sort of started that, and then it happened.
You got thrilled.
To me.
That's pretty great.
We haven't thrilled anyone in a long time, by the way.
No, I forgot
well,
about it.
Out of steam. I mean, you do it for a while, and you go, "All right, how long is it funny?" But it is funny that Omar brought in the lightning element. Lightning, who works on our website, he's the guy who goes, "You guys got to start a catchphrase like you got thrilled." <I'm> like, no, we don't. But he did. It worked fine.
That was funny. Funny what we did it to you. Hey, party people. Finally Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Okay. Hear my whole thing. When you're talking about things I hate, very near the top are businesses that have an endless series of recordings that you have to wade through every time you call them. I don't know. Maybe I'm old, but I miss the good old days where you used to be able to pick up the phone and call and a human would answer and he or she could immediately direct your call to the person you were calling about rather than have to sift through 20 different screens of menus where you have to make decisions where, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It's enormously frustrating.
If you want to buy, press 1. If you want service, press 2. And then you go, if you want service for this, 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 or this, press 1, 2, 3, or 4. Yeah, and it takes forever.
So that we can better serve you and blah, blah, blah.
And then by the way, most of the time you never get to a human being, even with that. Usually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's
for
right,
because
their goal, of course, is to reduce man hours, and they try to set up the recording so that they can solve whatever problem you're calling about. Maybe a lot of problems can be solved by the recording. Generally, not the ones I'm calling about, though. I'll tell you that. I generally need a person.
Sure.
And by the way, just as a PS, 100% of the time, you can't be experiencing a heavier volume call than normal, because at some point that has to become the new normal.
That is normal.
It can no longer be heavier. Okay?
That's a really good point.
I want you to finish your story, but I would like to say that I found an answer for that, and that's
okay.
You press whichever one starts new service or you want to buy new, because they get to those like that.
Oh, good point.
And then you go, I don't know, I've been trying it, it's not working, and then they'll transfer you.
All right, back to you. And PS part two, after it can't always be heavier call volume, is your menu options can't always have just changed.
At some point,
enough distance has passed since the last time they changed it where you can't say your menu options have recently changed, right? Those are two pet peeves I have on top of my original pet peeve, which is too goddamn many recordings.
All right.
Now, I tell you all that to tell you how much sympathy I have for Miss Deborah Crabtree from Honolulu, Hawaii, who is now suing her bank, also my bank, by the way,
the Bank of America,
who bombarded her with calls up to 48 times a day to remind her that her recently deceased husband had missed a mortgage payment.
Oh, now, what a burn.
She's behind by a month on her mortgage payment, okay? And the computer from the Bank of America starts calling her. And 48 times a day, by the way. So she calls him and says, look, my husband just died. My husband just died. I'm waiting for the life insurance payment, and then I'm going to pay a tremendous amount of this mortgage off, which is what the plan is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, sorry about that. We can't stop the calls until the debt is paid, as they are computer generated.
We can't stop 48 times a day, though? Can they cut them down to 40, say, 5?
I don't know what's going on with computers taking over the world here, but this article, and as usual, when I read an article, there's not enough information for me to be satisfied, but it sounds to me like the people who do work at the bank have no interaction whatsoever with the people who set up the computer information for the bank and don't know how to even begin the process of changing it. Look, a human being programmed that computer to make those dial-out calls. A human being could stop it, could put that number in, take that number off the list, do something if they wanted to.
Right.
They just don't, right?
And it's not bad enough that the woman's husband died. Now she's got to be reminded of it 48 times a day.
Well, and that's the other question. Is it really their policy to make those calls 48 times a day?
That
per
sounds
person?
Like an error, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sounds like a glitch.
Yeah.
Mrs. Crabtree says that she and her family spent her husband's wake repeatedly hanging up on phone calls from the bank.
Oh, why are you answering the phone during the wake?
Because you have family calling and stuff.
Oh.
I don't know. I thought the same thing Kevin did, which is, isn't there one place where maybe the phone stays in the car?
Right.
And that's at your husband's wake? Anyway, it's also claimed that the bank started to ask to speak to Mrs. Crabtree's husband, even though she repeatedly told him he was dead.
Oh.
So she sent proof in that he was dead, which the bank asked for. The calls continued. She would call back, and they would say, I'm sorry, we don't have any record of that information being sent to us. It just goes on. It just gets worse.
They said they never got it.
They said they never got it or lost it or didn't have it.
They never get anything you send them ever.
And that's the other thing is no matter how many times you send something to any company, they say, well, I don't see any record of that. No matter how many times you talk to somebody in the company, the next person you get, you'll be starting over from scratch. There will be no record of the conversation you had with the last person.
Yeah, you're right.
It's got to be stopped.
I hope she makes enough money to pay off that mortgage.
That would be nice.
In
that
her lawsuit. Nice.
It won't end, though, still, even if she pays off the mortgage. My dad, God rest his soul, passed away, and my mom was hassled all the time, and she had to send proof of his death, like here and there and all over the place. I was like, wow, that's a bummer.
That's pretty brutal.
That's just what happened to this lady. You had to send in the proof,
That's a bummer.
So anyway, as much as I hate the computer robot calls anyway, then I see this story on top of it. And it makes me want to write a strongly worded letter to my own bank, and I don't have anything to do with this story.
Right, but...
They'll lose it.
They won't get it.
They won't get it.
So that's what we found out about today's story. Kids, nothing... companies don't get letters. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wow, so many questions.
Me too. We have Jimmy Fallon on the program today.
Yeah!
Talking about his 500th show and Pearl Jam performing, and he's got a new ice cream, and he's got a new book.
He's very busy.
I'm not kidding. All of that is happening.
I'm angry at Jimmy Fallon, by the way. I don't know if I even want to be part of that interview anymore.
Why?
You were the only one that wanted to be on it.
I like Jimmy Fallon. I'm a big fan of Jimmy Fallon's. And maybe you may technically say this isn't his fault, but I set up the DVR last night to tape him because Cameron Crowe was going to be on, who I love, more than anything, one of my very favorite directors. And, of course, he's the one who does the Pearl Jam documentary. And Pearl Jam debuted their new song on Jimmy Fallon last night.
Right.
All great reasons to tune in for the show. because of football running late, everything got pushed back, and I only got 25 minutes of Jimmy Fallon show.
Oh,
so I got to see him do some dumb sketch with puppies and then interview Tom Selleck. So that's what I got out of my experience on the Jimmy Fallon show last night.
But did you watch the football game?
Yes.
What a great game
What
that
a great
was.
Game.
As long as you're not a fan of defense.
Right.
Man, that was amazing. We were playing poker and we got to this one point where I was like making my move. I was all in and I was all intense and I was studying the cards and I was studying the body language and everybody stopped to watch the game and then I just turn around and look at the game. This was like 10 minutes later. We go, all right, what's going on?
Who's supposed to do what?
Right. Whose turn is it? What are we doing? But that was a great game last night. So I think it's a good trade-off. I'm fine with it is what I'm saying. LaQuisha will be here on today's Kevin and Bean Show talking about Jersey Shore from last night.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a fantastic show.
Yes, absolutely.
One of my favorites, and one of my favorites of all time, I think. There's a character on it that's played by J.B. Smoove. He's the black guy that moves in with Larry David and lives with him. Larry doesn't quite know where he came from or why or why he shows up.
Well, wasn't he part of the black family that moved in with him?
Well, yes, but he was
related to Vivica Fox's character,
right?
Something?
Vivica Fox at the beginning, he took in a family from Hurricane Katrina,
right?
Because they
right.
all needed. All right, so then, but then I was watching yesterday on YouTube, and this guy moves in, and Larry David goes, was he in New Orleans? And she goes, oh, no, he's my cousin. He grew up here.
Oh, that's right.
So he's not even from New Orleans. He just lives in
Los Angeles. Stayed on after the rest of the family moved out.
Yeah, now he's the only one there. But he's fantastic. I love him so much. So we got that coming up. We have Citizen of the Day. We have, I don't know if you've been watching any TV, but if you have, you've seen a lot of 9/11 coverage. 10th anniversary, Sunday. And some people handle it well. National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't handle it well. Channel 4 in Los Angeles. Maybe some people should be barred from talking about that particular
thing. Maybe
they
should just do the local stories.
Just keep to whatever it is, because they're terrible. Although it's almost bad enough that it's good. So I may have to reverse myself and say only they should cover it. Jonah Hill, we're going to talk to you today in about a half hour. And we don't understand why, if I'm... Can I speak for you when I say that, Bean? It's some kind of weird...
Well, it does seem like we're a few months ahead of promoting this movie that's coming out in December. It just seems like an odd time to have him on, but that's what they wanted to do.
And they had this weird promotion, and he's going to take your calls. I didn't understand it, but he's Jonah Hill, so we said, okay, we love him. Andrew Siciliano talking about football. Movie Beat, because it's Friday, brand new Internet Roundup.
Wow, a lot of show today.
How about all that? So that's coming up. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is coming up next.
Jonah Hill coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's happening, Ralph?
Why do old people get married?
Oh, no.
I'm just wondering why it happens. Well, Neil Diamond announced this week that he is engaged to his co-manager, Katie McNeil, the 70-year-old singing star. Will take his third trip down the altar to this younger woman.
Right.
You're 70. You're Neil Diamond, get all the money in the world. Enjoy yourself. Relax. Have a good another 15 years, 20 years, whatever it takes.
Just have her move in.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know things that work out? Oh, and then go to Sweet Caroline down the hall or whoever else is around the corner. Enjoy yourself, Neil.
Don't people sometimes get married, especially when they're old, because they foresee some potential health problems and visitation at the hospital and will issues and other things that make that sometimes marriage makes a little clearer, makes a little easier for you?
I don't understand how, especially if you're rich, that would make a bit of difference. He's got family, he's got kids, he's got people in his life. He's not going to be eating cat food in a studio apartment in Van Nuys.
I'm not suggesting that. I don't know how long he's been dating this woman, but maybe she's important enough to him that she wants him to be able to visit, her to be able to visit him in the hospital if he's sick.
Neil Diamond can buy his own hospital, and she can come every day if she wants.
That's true.
He can just move from room to room for a year in a brand new hospital.
Chopper her in.
Congratulations, Neil.
Plus, he's not sounding very good lately. I don't know if you've listened to his music at all.
That's the wrong song, but it'll do. Yeah, I was going to do Sweet Caroline, but Love on the Rocks will do.
Can't even make up his mind what he wants to sing.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank you, Hillary.
Hillary?
Love on the Rocks? Love on the Rocks. Ain't no surprise.
Lost the step, right?
Yeah, it's not the same.
Pour me a drink. Oh.
Come on, Neil.
You know what I'm saying?
Really? A little pitchy, dog. George Clooney, meanwhile, is apparently very much in love with Stacey Keibler. And if you've seen the photos that came out this week on the internet of her in a bikini by the pool,
you could understand why he would be very in love with Cece.
I'm very much in love with her as well.
I'm being.
He has already introduced her to his parents, Nick and Nina, which is apparently quite the honor. George doesn't let just any of his girlfriends meet mom and dad, which it would fill up their schedule completely, wouldn't it, if that was the case? He has to take he has to be more selective about who he introduces to them.
He's booking breakfast, lunch, and dinner with his parents just to try and...
Friends of George say the romance is getting very serious.
Oh, stop it.
This is the one.
This is
where he gets married. The gray fox gets married. It's very serious.
Stop it. This is the story every time he looks at a girl.
Yes. He could do worse, though.
I'm not saying he hasn't dated a share of great.
He better snatch her up and marry her before Neil Diamond does. Because it could happen right around the corner. Desperate Housewives is going into its last season this fall. Saying farewell, and they were asking Eva Longoria if she has any mementos from the set that she'd like to take home to commemorate the TV series that made her a star.
Right.
And she said, yes, Gabby has these huge Andy Warhol-like pictures of herself everywhere because she's so vain. I'm stealing those and taking those home for sure. Yeah, but then when you hang them in your house, Eva Longoria, you just have giant pictures of yourself all over the place. And then you are... people don't know it's the character. They think you have giant pictures of yourself everywhere. You look like a douche nozzle.
So it's written that she's...
they're from the series. The character. The character wrote, had them... it was set decoration in the character's house. But once you take them home and put them in your house, it's giant pictures of Eva Longoria on the wall.
Now it's you becoming the act.
Right. Now you're an a-hole.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Steal something else, like something gold or something. Diamonds or something. Regis Philbin, as we mentioned, is leaving TV.
Dying,
or is he? Oh, I wish he'd die. It'd be great.
Hey, wait a minute.
Or is he?
What do you mean, or is he?
He is stepping down from Live with Regis and Kelly, but he told USA Today that he would love to do his own reality show after he steps down in November.
Nope.
I did a little pilot for somebody last week in L.A., he said.
Of Regis doing what? I mean, is this Regis skydiving, or what's he doing?
Yes. Oddly enough, it's Regis skydiving.
That's the name of it.
Every week, Regis skydives. He just jumps out of a plane, and for a half an hour, you follow him down to the ground. It's very entertaining. He won't talk more about it until he sees the edited down version, he said, but he's very excited about the new project.
That's odd.
That's bad.
Yeah, no.
We don't need Regis. What I love Oreo cookies.
Yeah, we don't need that for half
an
hour.
That's a whole episode.
Week. Yeah. Him on the search for Oreos.
I'm going to buy some right now.
And while we're talking about reality television, Ryan O'Neal apparently isn't too happy with his stint. He told TV Guide magazine that he reconciled with his daughter Tatum O'Neal solely for the show, which featured them getting back together. They no longer speak, and he says they're more distant than ever.
Wow.
You probably didn't see the show. It was on Oprah Winfrey's own network. But he sounds pretty bitter. He sent a sarcastic thank you out during the interview to Oprah for all your help. Wait a minute. A reality TV series didn't fix your relationship problems? That's so rare. Usually that's all it takes.
That's weird.
Why was he expecting reality television to fix his relationship with his daughter?
Yeah, and how's he blaming anyone for
that
except himself?
It's Oprah's fault.
It's his own
fault. Well, first of all, many things are Oprah's fault. But in this particular case, I think she's blame-free.
What's the short version of why they are estranged? Were they just, was he out of the house by the time she was coming
father.
Up?
Horrible father. Horrible father. Horrible. Spent so much time away from her that at Farrah's funeral, he hit on his daughter, not realizing it was her.
That, and she said, Dad?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, man, you look different.
Oh, man, that's ugly.
Yeah.
Hit on his own daughter.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
He's lucky she said no.
And Kate Gosselin is complaining that she now doesn't know how she'll survive now that her reality show has been canceled.
Well, that is how she was making money, I think, right? For the
For the vast majority of her, motherhood.
Of kids.
Yeah, for her kids. She has no idea how she's going to survive. Her ex-husband, John Gosselin, suggested she get a job.
Well, that's not an option, right? It isn't really now, but... But
she could get a job. She could become a realtor or something. Use that fame that she has, whatever residual fame she has left, to promote herself into some kind of business that requires sales or something, right?
Yeah, I think
porn. Of course, it's always that. Sure, Vivid would answer the call. Sure. She. Yes, Bean?
Why hasn't the Octomom gotten a reality television show yet?
She's hateable.
She has even more kids, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'd think that there were the people who enjoyed the Kate Gosselin show would want to see the Octomom trying to wrangle her 14.
You'd think. Celebrity birthdays today. Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics is 59 years old today. Hugh Grant celebrates his 51st birthday. Actress Constance Marie from the George Lopez Show is 46. Adam Sandler turns 45. Rachel Hunter is 42 Ooh. Years old today. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family. How great is he on that show?
The best.
40 years old. Michael Bublé celebrates his 36th birthday. Actress Michelle Williams is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, it's Jonah Hill. Shouldn't have lost all that weight, man. Something funny about a physically fit man.
I know, it's lame, right?
Yeah, no one wants to watch Lance Armstrong do comedy. You know what I think you should do? Take care of it. Tell me you don't want him to get an A word. You should get a Schmushmorshman at the Schmushmorshman Clinic.
It's not my fault your grandfather's in hell. It's not a big deal. Some grandpas go to hell. Inside. When I was a little kid, I kind of had this problem. For some reason, I don't know why, just kind of sit around all day and draw pictures of
like a man.
Yeah.
You know why I'm stressed out? Because I'm on Atkins and I've been eating all day because every reporter comes in here and asks me what it's like to be unattractive, and I want to sit here and kill you right now. I literally, my dream right now is to get out of this chair and knock your teeth out of your head.
I have to sneeze.
What?
I have to sneeze, but I'm terrified that my bowels will evacuate if I do.
That's how you want to start your day right there. Hey, Kevin, do me a favor. Have your finger on the button here with Potty Mouth Jonah Hill All right. on the line. His next film is called Moneyball, due in 2 weeks, but that's not why Mr. Hill joins us today. Jonah, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hi, guys. That is quite a montage you've thrown.
That's sweet, right? Well, we like to have those standing by in case you die. Then we've got the obituary package ready to air.
Oh, God, that's so dark. Okay, cool. Yeah, well,
that also was a joke, but yeah,
of course. Of course it was a joke. No, we're huge fans of yours, Jonah. And in fact, when producer Alex told us that you wanted to come on to talk about a movie that opens up, oh, I don't know, at Christmas time, we thought, well, it is Jonah Hill. I guess we'll talk to him. But what's the deal? Why so early on the promotion for The Sinner?
I don't know. I think they probably think that Moneyball is going to be really successful, so they want to capitalize on that.
but don't you capitalize on that after it is a huge hit? And then they go, hey, remember that guy from Moneyball? And
yeah, we all go, I guess so.
Brad Pitt?
I'm just glad to talk to you guys.
Well, look, this is what happened in the meeting.
Any excuse to be on your guys' show, I just take up. I don't really ask them any questions.
That is exactly what I was going to say, is like none of us understood exactly what we were talking to you about, but it's you. So we were like, hey, it's Jonah Hill. Fantastic. Let's go.
Well, it's actually kind of a cool thing. So I did this. You know, Moneyball is a drama about baseball, but, you know.
We're not going to allow.
With Brad Pitt and Phil Seymour Hoffman.
We're not going to allow you to talk about that now to make sure that you come back and talk about it then.
Yeah, of course. Awesome. Okay. Well, that comes out September 23rd. So That's not why we're talking now.
All right.
The cool part of what we're talking is this movie, The Sitter, I did, which is like a really filthy, R-rated, insane babysitting comedy. You know how, like, they make all those movies where it's like, you don't want this guy watching your kid, but it's like, oh, he gives him too much candy or whatever,
right.
Something stupid like that. This is like, you really don't want this guy watching your kid. It's like, they might die.
This is that movie on steroids.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's more along the lines of like Bad Santa than like, you
Sweet.
Know, one of those fun, silly movies where like a dumb guy watches kids.
And let me jump in. Let me jump in, Jonah, to say, and we've had this conversation a lot lately because there have started to become some great R-rated comedies in theaters again, like there used to be. And when I saw your Red Band trailer for The Sitter, It was so shocking to me to see how filthy that trailer was and how hysterical that movie was, because you just don't see stuff like that in theaters very often anymore. And, man, thank God that's the trend that's coming back.
Well, I'm honored to be a part of that sentence and that nice thing you have to say. You guys are always so nice and complimentary. But the truth is like, I was like, if we're going to make this movie, we're going out swinging. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we're going to make the most messed up.
Strikeout or home
version.
Run.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's insane, and it's so funny and crazy and insane. It's me and a bunch of kids. Basically, my girlfriend in the movie is really mean, and she's kind of this party girl, and she sends me to go buy drugs for her with the promise of having sex with me if I buy her drugs.
Sweet.
And I'm babysitting these kids as a favor to my mom, so I bring the kids with me to the drug deal. And one of the kids steals all these drugs from Sam Rockwell and J.B. Smoove, and they end up chasing us through New York City.
when you shoot these scenes and the language is as raw as language gets, yeah. you have to do all like one shots on you saying the bad words so that you're not really in real life seeing them in front of the little kids, right?
No. Oh, we have
like
to
those
shoot.
Kids
we have
don't
to
hear
say
it.
The bad stuff in front of the kids, but sure. the kids were amazing and they loved it. And I would just give them a speech pretty much like once a week, like, hey guys, my character's really mean and curses a lot.
Right.
That's not me. You know, that's just like in the movie. I think you guys are awesome and really cool.
Oh, thank God. But I mean, it's so jarring, Jonah, to see a grown man like 6 inches away from a cute little girl's face saying, I effing hate you. I mean, it's so weird.
I'll effing destroy you.
Let me play some clips from the movie so you get an idea of what Jonah's talking about. This is the movie The Sitter, which opens right around the corner on December 9th. Here you go.
Babysitting sucks. Adult men don't babysit things.
You're wonderful with children.
I'm not a real babysitter.
I'm more of a sit on the couch.
What's up, you little tampon?
Do whatever I say or I'll kill you type of babysitter. Ah! You sprayed perfume in my mouth.
I hate you.
I hate you too. I'll destroy you. Mother
I'm at a party. Do you want to come?
I probably shouldn't.
I'll give you what you asked for.
Yeah, maybe I could work something out.
All right, Jonah Hill is on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his film The Sitter. The poster is getting some attention, Jonah. Tell people why.
Okay, so here's the deal. This is kind of the cool part. So basically, we have this really awesome hardcore movie. Like, how do we sell it? Basically, and so they had this great idea to put up these posters. All the billboards and all the wild postings and on Facebook and everything are going to be my face, and it's going to say need a sitter, and then there's these hang tags where you rip one off and it's like a real phone number.
It's not 555 or whatever that is, the fake movie phone number?
No, it's a real number. It's a 917 number. Right. I have it right here if you want me to say it, but I don't want to waste your time.
No, don't worry about it.
917-409-7838. Okay. And basically, we were going to record these voicemails where, in character, I was going to record these voicemails as my character, you know, really funny things or trying to be funny. And so now I have the actual phone. I'm the only one with the actual phone.
We're trying it.
Oh, really?
You have it now?
Hello?
I don't hear anything.
We're dialing the number on the phone.
I hope we're not dialing
pocket.
The wrong Hello? Number.
Kevin, did you miss dial? Are we waking somebody up in New York right now?
All I'm saying is beer mug dialed.
I got it. Hold on. Hello.
You don't.
Is it ringing on your side?
Try it one more time.
Hello.
Try it one more time, beer mug. We're just testing you out. That's all. Don't worry about it.
So is somebody else calling you right now, Jonah? Is that what's happening?
Call it again.
All right, we'll call again. All right.
All right, we'll try it one more time.
It's
now, of
beer
course,
mugs.
We've given it. Now we've given it out, by the way, so now all of our listeners are trying to call it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What? They're calling. They're calling 917-409-7838?
Yes, correct. That's the number.
All right.
That's the one.
Need a sitter. All right, let's just try this one more time.
I'm Riverside, California?
That's probably a listener.
No, that's a listener.
Should I pick up the listener?
Sure.
Why not?
I want to hear this.
Hello? Hello?
Nothing there. All right, so we got some bugs to work out.
Oh, wait, Burbank, California. That's probably you guys, right?
No, but try it. That's it.
Hello?
Avery Snow Griffith, I'm not home.
Yo, what's up, man? How's it going?
Who are you talking to?
What's your name? I'm on Kevin and Bean. What's your name?
He's talking to somebody else. Hang on.
Hey, Jason.
We just wanted to test it.
Okay, I got to go. These guys are getting... All right, bye, Jason.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was an experiment that worked out fine for him, not for us.
Yeah, that's Jason. We've been doing it all morning. It's really fun. People are like, they totally are not expecting to talk to me. And
no,
like,
of course not. Now, are you going to carry this phone around with you for the next 2 months?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm on the road promoting Moneyball, so like whenever I'm like not doing press, or I'm just gonna like turn it on and pick it up whenever I can.
It's gonna be so depressing though when you answer five in a row and they go, "Hey, can we talk to Brad Pitt?"
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know.
All right.
Not a bad person to get mooched on for.
Yeah, no kidding.
917-409-7838 is the number. We'll have to put that up at kevinbean.com, too. The film is called The Sitter. It comes out December 9th. Now, can we talk to you again? We have many more questions, maybe in a couple weeks before Moneyball, if you have time, Jonah.
Anytime. You guys are the best. I really appreciate you having me on, as
Thank
always.
You, man.
Thanks a lot, dude. Talk to you soon.
Right,
bye-bye.
Later.
Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone is going to be on to break down last night's awesome season opener for the NFL. I think Andrew tweeted yesterday, by the way, that last night was game one of 256 games in a season. So we got a long way to go, but we'll talk to Andrew all about that coming up. Plus, it's Friday. That means the movie beat and a brand new internet roundup on the way, too. First, though, how about a brand new?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Should we try that again? Are you all right with
it? No, it's fine. What the hell? It's only us.
A man has been charged after breaking into singer Celine Dion's house and running a bath. Montreal police said. By the way, you can go to kevinandbean.com. There's a post up with, I think, three out of these four stories.
I see a lot of these stories where people break into the house and then get way too comfortable. They go, I'm already here. I might as well take a shower. I might as well see what they got in the fridge. People sometimes will get stuff out of the fridge, fall asleep in front of the TV. I mean, lots of people are just very casual about their home break-in.
It doesn't sound, in this story, like the guy had any other intention, though. It's not like he did this on the way to robbing. It just sounded like he's a 36-year-old, and his name is Daniel Bedard. And apparently he broke in, drew a bath, went to the fridge. First he jumped the fence, then he got a garage door open on an open car. Then he went in, drew the bath, then he went to the fridge, got some snacks, left some snack papers around, and then he was in the bath when the police showed up. And they said, hey,
not your house.
This isn't your house. And he said, what? So they arrested him, and they're looking at him. They're giving him a psychiatric evaluation.
Yes, I'm sure he thinks he belongs there.
Correct. And that's so weird, because of all the houses to break into, doesn't Celine Dion seem like it would be the most difficult house on the block to break into? Like, she would have extra security and extra staff.
Yeah, but according to the story, I mean, it didn't sound like he had any idea whose house it was even, but that's hard to believe.
Interesting.
But I'm with Bean. Then you choose an easier one.
That guy's walking around her house going, wow, the chick who lives here really loves Titanic.
He does.
Look at all this crap.
This one comes out of San Diego. Police are searching for a man who wore a unique costume during an attempted robbery at a 7-Eleven store. I don't know if you've seen the security footage of this yet, but again, kevinandbean.com, you can see the story. This dude walked in just after midnight on Labor Day. He was dressed as the character Gumby. Now, those of you that are younger may not mean anything to you. It was a cartoon. It was a Saturday Night Live thing for a long time. It's a head-to-foot costume, and it's just green. And like, what is he, an eraser? What is he?
He looks like a giant eraser.
He entered the store, and he walked up to the clerk, and he said, this is a robbery. And the clerk started laughing.
As you would.
Right.
Appropriately.
Because he thought it was a joke. So Gumby reached into I don't know if the costume has pockets or where he was trying. And he tried to pull a gun out.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get a gun out. And while he was doing it, 27 cents of his own money fell out on the counter and some on the floor. And then he got frustrated and ran away. So he literally went in, donated 27 of his own cents. The 7-Eleven was up after the robbery attempt.
Awesome.
How often does that happen?
And it's a fail on every level.
Right. And then the police are looking for help for anybody who can help them find the guy dressed in the Gumby outfit.
That's their description.
Yes. That's all they have.
Guy in a Gumby outfit.
So as long as this guy doesn't slip up and wear the Gumby outfit out someplace, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This one is great-grandmother, 65 years old, lost husband, sad story, had to figure out a way to move on with her life, so she got a breast enlargement. Now,
well, of course she did.
Yay! You can see these pictures as well. She spent £4,000, which I think is about $8,000. And 65-year-old great-grandmother went from an A cup to an F.
Dude.
That's... Is she going to dance? What?
She is, according to the story, having sex with guys as young as 24.
Oh, my God.
So that seems bad, right?
Well, look. Maybe not. Not
maybe
for her.
Maybe not. All right.
She's not a horribly unattractive woman, but she is 65, right?
She's horribly unattractive.
No, she's not. She looks okay for an old lady.
So you'd do that. You'd hit
no,
that.
No, absolutely right. Not. There's right. Nothing sexy about it, but I'm just saying, who are these guys that are 24 years old who are going,
yeah.
Yeah, she looks good for 65. I'm going to hit that. Deal breaker.
I guarantee you all of the guys that are 24 or above that she's had sex with have been drunk out of their minds.
Well, maybe so.
And they see her from behind, you know what I mean, or something.
Or the side view of her.
Yeah, exactly.
In the dark. And it's that's got to be a rough way to wake up the next day, though.
Next day you
roll over and it's grandma.
How did she age 60 years since I met her?
Because I thought she was five when I took her home.
And finally, a 59-year-old Kentucky man has been arrested for drunk driving and having sex at the same time.
Oh, okay, that seems dangerous.
George Howard was driving erratically, it turns out. Police saw him. He had a can of beer in his hands, drinking while driving, literally drinking. The cops saw it. So the cop pulled out, and when he got up to the car, he said, "Can I see your driver's license and registration?" And then he saw that a woman's head was in his lap.
Oh, okay.
So they asked her to please move away from the driver.
She was napping?
She was napping.
Okay, good.
Or whatever. And then they said, "Get out of the car, sir." So he got out of the car, and then his pants fell down.
This is all good.
So the 53-year-old female companion was also ordered out of the car, and she had been stuffing beer cans in her bra in an attempt to hide them from him.
Oh, my God. This story has everything.
This really is the couple of the year, as far as I'm concerned. And let me just say this, just real quickly. Drinking and driving, one of the worst things ever. One of the most dangerous things ever.
Definitely not cool.
What about a guy who can be that drunk and have that going on and keep his car on the road?
That's impressive.
What a stud. I would have run into a tree, 3 miles before that.
Of course.
How do you have all that going on? And even though he's driving erratically and it's a horrible thing to do, he was pulling it off. I want to be George Howard. That's what I'm saying. All That's right. My point. I'm sticking to it.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
I hope this didn't make me sound like a bad person. I'm not really excited about any of the 10th anniversary 9/11 coverage.
What, it's the 10th anniversary?
I know, right? Why hasn't that been talked about?
Is this in the news?
I don't know. And I think Ralph feels the same way and said it best the other day off air, which is, it's not like I haven't thought about 9/11 for the last 10 years. I don't need to go back and relive every minute of it because it seems like there's never been a time where it hasn't been, at least in the back of my mind. You know what I mean?
For those of you that are interested, National Geographic has 75 hours of programming on it.
That's true.
And then the second tier, the second best, they start doing. And now it gets filters down to everybody feels like they need to be talking about it. And at the bottom of the pile is Channel 4 News in Los Angeles, which is, well, listen to this. First, one of their anchors, Chuck Henry, is driving this week from California to New York so he can interview people along the way about what it's like.
About what it's like,
how things have changed, like, and how what they think, and it's half-baked at best.
This is Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we're on the second night of our drive across America as we talk with fellow travelers about how things have changed for them since 9/11.
All right, so you got that going on, and you don't need that, right? Who needs that?
In Chuck Henry's defense, Albuquerque, very deeply affected by the bombing.
The native of California says life 10 years later is much different, not only for him, but he feels for everyone.
All right, do we need to hear from this guy?
Our economy is affected differently, and people are still afraid to go places because they're not sure how things are going to work out, when they get to where they're going.
That's a good point.
Well, Channel 4 has always been known for their hard-hitting interviews.
That's a good point.
Listen, when it rains or when there's an earthquake, I go straight there.
But haven't we said for years, don't you do that interview in hopes that it'll be interesting, and then you hear the tape and go, well, too bad we can't air that.
That's the beauty. They don't waste interviews.
We're doing about 500 miles a day, and it's not always on the interstate. Some of it is on old Route 66. The Continental Divide, that means that all the water flows this way to the Pacific.
So you get an idea for what they're doing.
That's pointless. That has nothing to do with 9/11.
You remember Doug Kriegel, the reporter that has been retired now for a couple years, probably? 2 years?
Yeah, I think a couple years. He was the guy that we liked because he always sounded like he was going to have a heart attack and die every time they sent him out on a story. He could barely breathe, and it just used to amuse us to no end.
He was there that day, and we get to hear insight like this.
The amazing thing was, coming into Manhattan, was the sight of the World Trade Center having been hit by the plane. Public transportation had been stopped.
Right.
Thousands of people were being forced to walk from their work.
Am I being told about this for the first time?
Midtown Manhattan. And there was fear in their eyes. They didn't know what happened. It was panic, almost. We went downtown. As we got closer, there was more and more smoke and ash over our heads.
Okay.
It was hard to breathe even at some point.
Okay. All right. So he's their man on the ground in New York City, and we thought we'd check in with Doug Kriegel because we haven't talked to him in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Wait, is this our exclusive 9/11 10th anniversary
correct.
Coverage? Is that what we're doing with Doug Kriegel?
Doug, are you there?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm a little worried about you, though, because, later in your career, you were
kind of unable to breathe, and now you're back?
I don't have any idea what you're doing.
Your sentences sort of fade out. You have trouble actually finishing
a
sentence.
It's great to be back on Channel 4 to be talking about everything that happened in New York.
See, whatever happened on 9/11, to talk about whatever happened on 9/11. But this is what I don't understand. Why does Channel 4 think that we weren't alive and weren't aware of what was happening? You're telling us nothing new. We understand what happened 10 years ago.
I don't know if you guys remember, but 10 years ago, there was a horrible thing that happened in New York.
Right. It was the planes, the World Trade Center. We all were here.
Yes,
we all got
it.
That.
That's what I'm talking about. Right. There were two planes who went into the World Trade Center. People in New York, I have to say, were afraid.
Right.
There was fear.
Okay, but this is not...
I'd almost have to call it panic.
Here's the thing, though. If you're going to talk to us about 9/11, maybe some new insight that we weren't aware of the last 10 years.
Well, you guys may not know, but there was a lot of smoke.
There was a lot of smoke. We know that.
And people were walking.
Right.
Right.
All over New York City.
Uh-huh. Right. And in some cases, running because it was terrifying. But again, how is
that... I would have to say almost panic.
Right, but I don't understand that
because they didn't know what was going on.
Right, but that doesn't add anything to my
understanding. Some of them still don't know what's going on.
You may be one of those people, Doug.
All I know now is there's a big hole where the buildings used to be.
Right, ground zero.
And the smoke has cleared up.
Well, of course the smoke has cleared up. It's been 10 years.
Why can't you still breathe then?
I'm reporting here from ground zero, and I have to tell you, thank God the smoke is clear.
Well, of course the smoke is clear.
However, I still see people walking in New York City.
Because
there still seems to be some fear in their eyes.
Well, that's normal. That's a normal day in New York City.
But in this case, I think they're afraid of each other.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Could be.
Because New York's a very scary place.
It's a scary place. Right. I'm going to say...
I don't know what's going to happen. Right. What are you doing?
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Fine. How are you guys?
You're having more trouble breathing, Doug.
No, it's just very, very heartfelt to be here
with
the 10-year anniversary.
Uh-huh.
I remember being here 10 years ago. Okay. I don't know if you guys heard, but planes crashed into the
World Trade Center. Yes, we're familiar with the story, right?
We know that.
There was fear in people's eyes, and they walked everywhere.
Right.
I'd have to say almost panic.
Almost panic, right. Okay. You may need to retire again, is what we're suggesting.
I'm saying there used to be some buildings here, and there are no longer buildings.
Okay, all right. I think we've got that covered. Thank you very much for the insight, Doug.
What happened to those buildings? Do you guys remember?
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for another look at the show biz beat. Here's our friend Ralph Grammer. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz news, I'd like to give away it's the last day of passes I've got to give away for Drive, the new film starring Ryan Gosling, Carey Mulligan, Bryan Cranston, Ron Perlman, Christina Hendricks, Albert Brooks.
Anyone we've heard of?
Story of a stunt driver who also moonlights as a getaway driver for guys who are pulling off robberies. And one goes bad, and they decide to take out all the witnesses to that crime, he being one of them.
Does
and
he like that?
He's got to fight for his right to party. No, fight for his life, I guess. If you'd like to see this movie, and why wouldn't you? It sounds awesome, except for that whole font thing. Everything else it's got going for
get
it, except
over
for
the
that
font.
I can't get over the font.
The font.
A lot of people are starting to say, hey, I never noticed, but since you brought it up, now it's making me crazy, too. The font is all wrong for Drive. Wrong.
It's pink cursive, and it just says Drive, and it's just that it
doesn't say Drive, it says Drive.
It does, okay.
That's what it says.
All right.
Yeah, not right.
And it's not an 80s romantic comedy?
Send it back, I'm saying.
But the movie looks awesome.
But we cannot get past the font, is what I'm telling
you. I can.
Drive!
It's pretty easy for me to avoid that.
The pink, weird, cursive, 80s cursive is just wrong. Get the marketing people on the phone.
It doesn't say Drive.
It needs to say Drive.
Right, I agree.
Not Drive! Not what we need.
That is a strange choice.
Anyway, you should see this movie. If you don't win tickets, it opens everywhere Friday, September the 16th. Our screening is Thursday, the day before it comes out. So if you can't go, then don't call. But if you can go, then 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Right now, first two callers to get through, boom, pair of passes for Drive. It's just that easy. Speaking of things that happen on Fridays, tonight... Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith making fun of people in show business.
Just this week.
It's Friday tonight at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up at CityWalk at Universal Studios. You can go to thelovitz.com to buy your tickets, and we'd love to see you there because it's going to be a funny show tonight.
Next Friday?
The
Friday after that?
Nope.
Really?
It's usually Saturdays.
Like clock what?
Usually Saturdays, but this week it's Friday. Mm. Pearl Jam has a new song. They premiered it on Jimmy Fallon last night. Played it live. It's called Olay. I thought you guys might be interested to hear a little piece of it, so I brought some
Absolutely.
In. Here's some new Pearl Jam.
I like that part of it.
I think it's interesting. I don't know. I have a goddamn idea what they're talking about there. That's for sure. Eddie, come on now.
I'm just happy they're out of their belly dance phase.
No, it's rock and roll. That's for sure.
Love that.
Good stuff right there. Good news coming out of Comedy Central regarding the Charlie Sheen roast on Monday night. They've added a few additional roasters. Some are odd choices. Some are great choices.
Okay.
Mike Tyson will be roasting Charlie Sheen. And by roasting, I hope I mean beating.
I'm afraid not. It's too bad.
This is an interesting choice. Kate Walsh from Private Practice, formerly of Grey's Anatomy, she will be joining the dais.
What's
the tie-in there?
I cannot imagine.
That's weird.
Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Damn.
Is going to be there.
Slash?
Yeah. That's interesting.
They must know it. So these people must know him because it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Then it gets good. William Shatner, the captain from Star Trek, will be roasting.
Okay.
We'll be roasting. Charlie Sheen as well. Yesterday, by the way, 45th anniversary of Star Trek, did you know?
How about that?
45 years. It's a long time. And my buddy John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live will be on the dais as well.
Fantastic. And it's hosted by Seth MacFarlane.
Making fun of Charlie. And hosted by Seth MacFarlane, yeah. So this is looking up. I might have to watch. I know initially we said, haven't all the jokes been made already?
By Charlie.
Yeah, by us, about Charlie, too. No. But I think I'd like to see that batch of people talking to him. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michelle Williams. Lovely, talented Michelle Williams. She just strikes me as a little China doll. She just seems like such a fragile little creature.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I feel so bad for her still with the whole Heath Ledger thing.
Yeah.
And raising Matilda on her own and everything. But she just seems like I just want to give her a hug.
Yeah.
And it's so weird when you see her in all these movies and she's been nominated for Oscars now and everything. She's brilliant in everything she does. I mean, she was, the chick on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have ever thought?
She was great on Dawson's Creek.
She was great. She's a great actress.
Featherweight as that show was, I always found her very compelling on that show. I thought she had real potential.
Yep,
as opposed to Katie Holmes.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. I was just thinking out loud. She's 31 years old today. Michael Bublé is 36. Eric Stone Street, so funny on Modern Family. He is 40 years old. Rachel Hunter is 42. Adam Sandler is 45 years old. Constance Marie from the George Lopez Show.
I 46. Got a lot of hate for missing the bell last hour on Constance Marie, but I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before, but the listeners let me know that she's in fact a hottie.
Look her up. You will enjoy.
Open a blog.
Hugh Grant is 51. And Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics, super talented musician, producer.
Sure.
59 years old today, currently working on the musical version of Ghost, believe it or not. The movie Ghost.
The Whoopi
Patrick
Goldberg?
Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg, Demi Moore. They're doing a Broadway musical, and Dave is doing the music for that.
Okay.
He is 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a brand new Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBane.com. You can see all of these videos, the Internet Roundup, the links for them. The first one is not a typical video that we would deal with as we try to steer away from emotion because we are incapable of handling any level of emotion.
Too immature, really.
We're immature. We can't be trusted with emotion.
I can't wait to find out what this is about.
Well, this is Jimmy Kimmel's Uncle Frank tribute.
Yeah, it's nice.
Jimmy Kimmel Live, he's been a friend of ours for a long time, Jimmy. And his Uncle Frank, we had as a guest. Great guy. I emailed Jimmy. I hope this made him laugh, that I think I like Uncle Frank better than Jimmy.
No, Frank was salt of the earth, just a hilarious guy who loved every minute and had the best 7 years of his life, at the end of his life, working with his nephew here in Hollywood.
And it's not the kind of thing we normally point you to, but this is Jimmy Kimmel doing his tribute to his Uncle Frank. And Jimmy losing it, like crying at the beginning of it, and then you find yourself crying, and you go, wow, this is unexpected. But Uncle Frank was fantastic.
I love being with children. Because my IQ is below normal, so I love just being with children and inter whatever it is with children.
Come on. Is that my long lost dad?
I'm afraid you're heading to Uncle Frank territory. And it's so awesome to see this video because who knows if Frank even knew who any of these people were. But to see him in the video clips with Meryl Streep and with Mike Tyson and with all these people just having the time of his life, please check that out on the Internet Roundup if you look at nothing else.
Seth Green goes cha-ching. Now, I was not really aware of this as such a huge deal that it was, apparently. But this is when he was 17 years old, and he did a commercial for a fast food restaurant. You remember what it was, Bean?
It was a chicken place in New Orleans, I guess, a local chain in New Orleans, where he was the guy wearing the uniform behind the counter, you know, serving people their food. And he had a catchphrase, ka-ching, that just apparently caught. I never heard this story before I saw this video. Apparently just caught on like wildfire and just became this huge sensation to the point where everybody in town started doing it and he became a celebrity. He's 17 years old, and I don't know what clip you have here, but they end up bringing him into the Superdome where he's out on the field with the New Orleans Saints and the entire 70,000 crowd is cheering him for being the ka-ching guy.
Give me a good cha-ching.
Cha-ching! Cha-ching! That's cha-ching! Cha-ching! Cha-ching!
It's so funny to see him at 17, too.
Oh, my God.
It sure is. And, of course, he'd already had a pretty... I mean, Seth was a child actor. He'd already been in a lot of stuff, including some pretty big movies by the time he was 17. But still, who would have ever imagined he'd turn into what he is today, which is Seth Green?
All right, tell us about the Batmaning video. How did you find this? Why are people doing this? How bored are people?
We're all completely bored. All right. Here's the thing. Planking was a huge internet sensation. And people all over the world said, hey, if planking is big, we got to try owling. And then everybody was owling. And then everybody was coning. And it never stops now. Every week there's a new sensation. And the new sensation apparently is Batmaning. And they call it that because you hang from something by your feet like a bat. And that's what people are doing all over the world now and making crazy videos. And I think the clip we have up in the Internet Roundup is the guys who did the first Batmaning video.
Batman. That's really all the audio there is because they're not saying anything. They're just hanging from their feet.
Yeah, on gates and fences and hallways. It's just so weird to see them doing this, but I guess it's the new thing.
Here's a mariachi band, and they don't have a trumpet, so the guy grabs a gigantic Coke bottle and plays it like a trumpet. How? I don't know.
Right here.
That seems to be coming out of the Coke bottle.
Yeah, it's a an empty plastic 2-liter Coke bottle. I don't know how he does it either. It's crazy.
This geek does 35 Star Wars voices, Real One. There's actually two of them, but this is part of Real One, and that is basically a dude in front of a camera doing the voices of every single character in Star Wars. And it's pretty good.
That sounds impressive.
At first I thought, what a loser. And then I said, hey, this guy's pretty talented.
Oh, great warrior, Yoda. You seek Yoda.
And he probably goes through, I don't know, how many are there, Bean? There are 35 in each one, so maybe 70?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm amazed that he could do voices for that many different characters, but clearly the guy has spent a lot of time in front of his TV.
Prankster pulls off reporter's pants. This is funny as hell. Right at the end of it, you'll hear the reporter's talking, and then a guy literally runs into the scene and pantses him and runs off.
Crowds gathered at Union Square, Washington Square Park, and Pulitzer Fountain to watch as people protest.
Thank you very much, Zach. And then the anchor tries to say, hey, thanks a lot for that report. But you see he's standing there in his boxers.
Awesome. They couldn't cut away fast enough. And by the way, was this reporter not wearing a belt? Because how do you pull somebody's pants down like that unless they're loose enough to do
that? They were dress pants.
Yeah.
It wouldn't seem that easy.
Right. But they sure were.
So funny.
Jeff Tweedy. Give me some background on him. Do you know who he is?
Of course. He's the lead singer for the great band Wilco. And I don't know what the circumstances were, but he's at a party for it's a book launch party having to do with Mayor Emanuel. And I think I've been trying to put the pieces together. Mayor Emanuel in Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, used to be in the Obama administration. He's now the mayor of Chicago. I think this is a book about the guy who ran a fake Twitter account for Mayor Emanuel. And Jeff Tweedy, being a local Chicagoan, comes to play this event. And I don't know how, if he lost a bet or what, but he ends up doing a bizarre cover version of the Black Eyed Peas song I Got a Feeling.
Tonight's gonna be a good night. Tonight's tonight. Let's live it up. I got my money. Let's spend it up. Go out and smash it. Like, oh my God. Jump off that sofa. Let's get off.
Yeah, you know what's funny is some hit songs can translate to any format. You can do a country song of it, it'd be a great song.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This one is not one of those songs.
And I think what makes it so funny is that, A, he's such an earnest singer-songwriter that you don't expect him to have this kind of sense of humor.
Right.
And then on top of that, the song just sounds so silly as an acoustic rock number. But it's a very funny video. You should check it out.
This is, again, the Internet Roundup is what we're listening to. You can go to KevinAndBean.com if you'd like to see any of these videos. Justin Timberlake needs to make music again.
Every day without a new Justin Timberlake album feels like an eternity. Feels pointless.
I can't dance up in the club because I can't even say the club. I have to say the club because I'm white.
Children are dying. Probably. Michael Jordan thought it was a good idea to play baseball.
Remember how that turned out? Real Please, Justin Timberlake, make music again.
These ladies in particular in this video are very upset because they haven't figured out how to masturbate to Bruno Mars. So they really need Justin Timberlake to make a new record. It's very funny.
We understand that you're talented and you're funny and you've got charisma and you can make movies. Now get back in the studio, basically is the message. And then neighbor's worst day. There's a guy mowing the lawn and the guy next door videotaping him from what looks like an upstairs bedroom. And the guy's lawnmower dies every 30 seconds.
I think the guy was trying to mow grass that was too long. So
right.
He could not keep his mower going. And he gets so frustrated every time it dies, he can't believe it died again. And the neighbor fortunately got it on tape. I love this.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. 2 seconds now. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
It's a particularly tasty Internet Roundup this time around. You can see all the videos from this week and all the videos that we've ever done for Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup if you just go to KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's The Red Zone joins us in minutes for a preview of all the other NFL games that are happening this weekend. Andrew's going to be back to work. So excited. Ralph, you're the one who introduced us to Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah.
Ralph fell very deeply in love with the incredible work that man
hardest
does
working
there.
Man in broadcasting.
Takes I think he
is. Every football game and watches it at the same time and talks about all of the players and all of the games simultaneously. It's madness.
I was watching The Red Zone and my daughter said, how do you know when something's going to happen in each game? And I just pointed my head like, I just know what's going on.
Oh,
I was watching The Red Zone and he was doing it for me. Sweet.
Yeah. I suspect Kevin lies to his children
how
a lot. Don't
dare
you guys?
He has to. He can't tell them the truth.
How dare you, sir? Anyway, that is minutes away here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world. Someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Warrior, come out and play. Warrior opens today.
Yes.
It's one of three movies we'll be talking about in the Cineplexes this weekend. Warrior, the MMA movie about fighting and warriors.
Right.
In the film, Joel Edgerton is a MMA fighter who has to go up against Tom Hardy, who also plays an MMA fighter. They are competing in a tournament with a major cash prize. But wait, it gets more dramatic than that because they're brothers!
What are the chances?
And they have to fight each other!
What?
And Tom Hardy also has to go back to his alcoholic father, who is a former MMA coach, to get his guidance and training, played by Nick Nolte.
I'm glad you came back, son, because I'm here to coach you, and it's going to be great. We're working together again.
This movie's
scares me a little.
Well, we had this discussion off air, Kevin. Sometimes movies will take advantage of a current craze or pop culture phenomenon.
Whatever's hot.
Whatever's hot.
It in.
And they will make a movie about that because they think, oh, a lot of people like MMA. Well, let's make an MMA movie and we'll get that audience. And in their rush to do that sometimes, they can make a misstep or two.
There was one about Supercross. It was like that. It was like they were just trying to cash in because that was hot.
Every generation has their thing, whether it's skateboard movies. Remember Cubing the Gleam or Gleaming the Cube
sure.
or whatever?
And the BMX movies, mm-hmm. there was that. And there were kung fu movies in the 70s taking advantage of that phenomenon. So you always run into that. However, the pedigree of this film and the filmmakers and the cast in it makes me believe this is a cut above your average cash and grab.
You know, I'm not a big reviewer fan.
Right.
Rotten Tomatoes, almost, I think it's 80% positive. I
mean, wow.
Tom Hardy, like great actor.
It's done
Nick
well.
Nolte, great actor
yeah.
when he sobers up. I mean, it really looks promising. Here is a scene from the film where Joel Edgerton, who plays one of the brothers, Brendan, does not want to lose his house, and he realizes that he may have to fight in order to win that big cash prize.
They're putting us out of the house in 3 months. We're running out of options.
They put us out of the house in 3 months. I'd rather go back and build apartments than see you in the back of an ambulance again. I thought we agreed that we weren't going to raise our children in a family where their father gets beat up for a living.
We're not giving up the house. It's our home. We're not going backwards.
Adrian, I never asked you to stop being a woman. Please, please don't ask me to stop being a man.
Yep,
I gotta fight again! I gotta fight again, Adrian!
Not saying there's any familiar themes in these movies.
No.
I'm just saying.
Looks like it's well done. I'm glad.
Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star. I don't know who that guy is in those commercials, but he sure bugs me. The guy who's telling me to go see this movie, that guy. You gotta go see Bucky Larson, because I told you. Who is that guy?
He's an actor. He was in Grandma's Boy.
I hate him.
He's one of Sandler's friends.
He should die.
Okay.
Why do they think this is going to make me go to see that movie? That guy yelling at me from my TV screen.
I think the people...
I just hypnotized you. You're going to see the movie.
The people...
Who's that guy?
Who will go to this movie know him.
I want him dead.
Okay.
That notwithstanding, Bucky Larson stars Nick Swardson. Very, very funny actor. He plays a young man who turns out to be the son of two former porn stars. And he realizes that is his calling. He should follow in his parents' footsteps and become a porn star in his own right. And this is his journey through that world. And he runs up against Stephen Dorff, who plays Dick Shadow, who is a big porn star in his own right. And there's a little competition going on between those two fellas. Christina Ricci also stars in the film. I hope she's a porn star. You know what I'm saying? Here's a little clip from Bucky Larson where Bucky is telling Dick Shadow that he wants to be a star.
He wants to get into porn.
So what do you want to do? You want to be a lighting guy or a lover?
I know, a star.
Oh, well, let's see what you got.
Got about $2 and some Bazooka Joe. It's a little warm, but it's chewable.
No, let's see your stuff.
My stuff's in my apartment. Was I supposed to bring it?
Now you're junk, kid. Whip it out.
Pull down your pants. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, my... Yeah.
Wow.
See? It's a competition between units.
This scares me because this movie looks like it has Kevin written all over it. And I think even he's nervous about it.
Here's what I'm going to say about that movie. I love Nick Swardson.
Yes.
That's it.
All right. But you got to see it because everybody's going to see it. Go see the movie.
Plus, that guy hypnotized me.
And lastly, Contagion. Now we're talking movies.
Now we are talking.
Imagine a disaster film like Towering Inferno or The Poseidon Adventure or Earthquake done by cinematic genius Steven Soderbergh. And what you have is a virus that sweeps the world faster than anyone can even recognize what's happening. This is a real horror story because this is the kind of stuff that could happen that makes you break out in a sweat when you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Interesting concept. Marion Cotillard stars in this film along with Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, Jude Law. Gwyneth Paltrow dies a hideous death in this, so it's got that going for it as well.
A lot of people are very excited about that.
You get to watch her suffer and die. What more could you ask for from a film? This looks terrifying. It looks fascinating. It looks thrilling. It is it's a science thriller. It's like the scientists in film, the doctors, the people of the CDC, they become the action heroes in this film as they watch this vicious killer virus sweep across America and then the world. Great, great concept. Great cast. Bryan Cranston, Lawrence Fishburne. Here's the scene between those two guys. This is Bryan Cranston, who represents the military, talking logistics with Dr. Cheever, played by Lawrence Fishburne, one of the doctors at the CDC. How can they contain the virus, and how can they contain the information about the virus?
There's a sick congressman from Illinois in D.C. They're using the pod to fly him home. Then they're closing down Midway and O'Hare. The Secret Service is moving the president underground. Congress is figuring out how to work online. When the word goes out, there will be a run on the banks, gas stations, grocery stores, you name it.
People will panic. The virus will be the least of our worries. It will tip over now.
We just need to make sure that nobody knows until everybody knows.
See, we have this discussion all the time. How much will the government tell you when you really need that information? And I think the answer, sadly, is not much.
Well, because people are a-holes. Because if they tell you what's going on, you will run on the banks and you will steal from the gas stations and you will be an animal. And they can't afford a world full of animals. So they have to keep it from you because you can't handle the truth.
I'll just do what I do anyway, which is not leave my house. I'll be fine.
Oh,
at least let me know.
I hope the virus gets you first. That's all I care about. I hope you're the Gwyneth Paltrow of our own little movie. I hope you go down coughing and sputtering.
This does look amazing.
Contagion looks
Ralph,
amazing, and I can't wait to see it this weekend. That's my pick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Hey, party people, welcome in on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, last night, the premiere of the NF Mother... I almost said it.
Wow,
NF Mother F and L. Boy, that's tough to get those words out. And there's no better person to have on our show today to reflect and look ahead toward this weekend of glorious NFL action than our old friend Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, from DirecTV's Red Zone. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys, and thank you so much for your patience as I had written down the wrong time earlier.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So late night for you last night after the game, then you were on the TV talking about it for a couple of hours, right?
I was on the TV on the NFL Network doing the total access thing, hence I kind of overslept when I got home.
Not a problem. Don't worry about it.
What's
better than NFL football, Andrew? Is there much in the world? I mean, seriously, how much fun did you have last night watching that game?
I had a blast, but to answer your question, are these things that we can only speak of off the radio or
correct.
Off the radio?
No, well, we were hoping on since we are on.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that. I can't really come up with much, and I'm going to sound like a sycophant. I'm going to sound like a pitch man, but there's nothing better than what we saw last night, and it's going to get just as good over the weekend. I know that sounds like we're just shoveling it. Yay, football is back and all that, but I get a rush for the NFL that I get for no other sport. Not to get off on a tangent here, but it just kills me that we don't have a team here and that our fans here in L.A. can't go to a stadium every week and get that rush. And they will soon, whether it's at Farmers Field, which is what I hope will happen, or somewhere else. They will get that soon. But the rush of being in that building is unlike anything, and I'm hooked. I'm flat-out hooked.
And it wasn't just, hey, it's the first real football game we've seen in a long time. It was a great game from minute one, and what a phenomenal matchup to have the last two Super Bowl champions. And is it possible that Green Bay is even better than they were last year, Andrew?
It's possible. They added this kid, Randall Cobb, number 18, who you saw, who had the kickoff return 108 yards, which tied an NFL record.
This is rookie season, right?
Ever. Here's a worse thing. I mean, to make us all feel old, yes, he's a rookie, to answer your question. He's the second-round pick out of Kentucky. He became last night, and there will be others, but because they played first, he was the first. He became the first player to ever appear in a regular season NFL game who was born in the 90s.
All right!
And he ran it out 108 yards, yet another touchdown, another play, a pass over the middle that he took to the house, and no one wanted him to take it out. I mean, when it's that deep in the end zone.
Yeah, when you're 8-9 yards in the end zone, everybody's going, right. don't. And then he got hit, and he did some kind of weird.
I don't know how he got past
stuff.
The 23. I really don't. It was insane how many guys were around him when he broke through that pack.
Well, two things. Number one, his fullback, John Kuhn, kept him up, and it was borderline. It's just borderline illegal. You really can't, you know, lift and carry your own guy. But he made certain that he didn't fall down on that matrix-like pirouette.
He flew.
And he kept going.
I'm sure he flew.
He did fly. He also said afterwards that even though everyone told him to stay in the end zone, God told him to take it out.
All right! I love that.
Quote, he told me to bring it out. I'm not supposed to bring that out. Some things are logical and some things are just the power of God.
With the rule change this year where they're kicking off from a different yard line to try and save some of the players, we're going to get, you know, touchbacks 90% of the time, right?
It could be that high. Yeah. I doubt it's going to be 90, but it's going to be a lot. They moved them from the 30 to the 35, and not only that, they gave the coverage units only a 5-yard run-up. So they wanted to cut down to the injuries. So they want to make the kickoff safer, and a lot of the players, a lot of the coaches, heck, a lot of everyone is complaining, but as we saw last night, you can still run them back.
Yep.
You just got to have the best players.
All right, before we move and look ahead toward what you've got going on the Red Zone and DirecTV for this weekend's games, and I'm dying to hear all about that, say a couple words about the Saints. Look, they lost last night, but they also scored 34 against the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers. They didn't have a bad night either, and for what, over 400 yards for Drew Brees?
Yeah, he did. And look, they're going to win more games than they're going to lose. And look, you had to go on the road and play the Thursday night kickoff opener against the defending champion. Now, you're a good team, don't get me wrong, you're the Saints, but it's now 8 straight years that Thursday opener, that big national TV game, has been won by the defending champ. You had everything stacked against you. It still came down to the final play. Drew Brees has more weapons this year. He added Mark Ingram. He added Darren Sproles. Charger fans certainly remember him. That team's going to be good, and I think they're going to be better on defense. They put Sean Rogers in the middle. You maybe didn't see that last night. He's at 350-pound nose tackle, but he's got a mean streak. Greg Williams is coaching. They will be a very good team. They will be battling with the Falcons and maybe even the Buccaneers. It's a heck of a division for the top of the NFC South.
Do you think President Obama is going to – does he have legs as a pregame show, or do you think it was a little boring?
I will concede that sitting in my office, I only flipped over to the president for a minute or two. I'm somewhat of a political news junkie. I wanted to watch, but I was knee-deep in football, so you guys can give me a better answer.
The president, they saw him
as well.
I watched the speech and I thought it was very good. But the president, you could see him mouthing to somebody right as he left the podium after giving this big speech on jobs last night. Got done before the football game, which is all that was on his mind the whole time. You know, he had a clock in his head. He was thinking, God damn it, I'm already at like 18% popularity. America's really going to hate me if I screw up this football thing. So I'm going to rush through this speech. It was very funny.
Every time I turned over, the one or two times I did, it seemed like he was hammering the same point, which is, all right, pass this bill.
Pass the bill. I got to go. I got to watch the game.
Seriously, just pass. It. All right, we're running out of time. We need some quick thoughts on some of the games this week. Question number one is, are the Colts done without?
Yes.
They are. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Peyton Manning had another neck surgery, another 2 to 3 months or whatever.
2 to 3 months. I think most people think he's done for the year, although that's certainly not set in stone. They have a good team, but Kerry Collins is even older than Peyton Manning. It's a difficult offense, and Houston's a better team. Houston will beat them. And oh, by the way, NFL Sunday Ticket and DirecTV, the Red Zone channel, if you are a DirecTV subscriber, if you have the dish on your roof already, you get us for free week one. We will give you a taste.
No, here's the problem. You're the dude outside the school. You're like, hey, you want some heroin? No. Oh, first hit's free. And then they go, wow, I really love this.
Comparing it to a drug.
I'm just saying.
Pleasure. No.
It's free, though. It's that addictive, is what I'm saying.
Free.
No,
free,
that is sweet.
Come inside the shop.
I hear you.
See it free if you don't already have it, or if you've already decided you want it, because why wouldn't you? You can go to directtv.com or call 888-777-2454. Last question, Andrew, because I know you got to go and we do too.
Yeah.
If somebody we know were putting money down on the Arizona Cardinals to win the Super Bowl in Las Vegas this weekend, would that be a good use of his or her money or not?
Would that somebody be? Yeah.
I'm from Arizona.
It would be an average use of money. I actually think the Rams have a heck of a shot to win that division, but that doesn't mean the Cardinals can't and get it. They're a better team, but I don't know about
that. All right, let me put it another way. Should Kevin save the trip to Vegas and just burn the $40 instead?
No, go to Vegas, have a good time.
That's right.
If it's 3 in the morning and you're drunk, go ahead, drop 40.
That's right.
All right. Andrew Siciliano.
I drop a lot of 40s in Vegas, by the way, at 3 in the morning.
You can follow him on Twitter, at his name, at Andrew Siciliano. Get the Red Zone DirecTV at DirecTV.com. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Love you guys.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 754.
LaQuisha reviews last night's all-new Jersey Shore episode at MTV. That is coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Jimmy Fallon next hour. Right now, Ralph joins us for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Bucky Larson! Bonavista!
You love that guy.
You gotta watch it this weekend!
You love him.
F that guy.
You love that guy.
And what a crowbar right in the right in the bridge of the nose.
Did you see Grandma's Boy?
Yes. Oh. Once, a long time ago.
But that guy that didn't stay with me. He's like, oh, I want to see more of that character. I want to see more of that young actor. Please put him on my television set every 4 minutes.
I don't remember him being this annoying then.
Why are they using him to sell the movie that Nick Swardson is in?
Huh?
He's in the movie. He's the guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Put him on my TV.
Yeah.
Bucky Larson! You gotta see Bucky Larson!
Just saying. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to Neil Diamond. Legend. He's getting married again. 70-year-old Neil Diamond tweeted the good news that he is engaged to his co-manager, Katie McNeil. Because not just one person can manage Neil Diamond. You need a team of managers. Katie, he proposed to Katie in London last month, so congratulations to those guys. Neil's third trip to the altar, so I'm sure this one's a keeper.
A, I hope he has kids. B, can you imagine the other partner, the other managing partner? Because she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
I wonder who will be really managing now, the wife co-manager or just the manager co-manager? Who gets the more say-so in the career?
Tell me what you want. I'll take it under advisement.
Yeah.
Sweet prenuptial.
Well, I hope Neil has her sign some papers. Britney Spears is still living a squeaky clean lifestyle. She's got her 30th birthday coming up this December, and she is planning a huge party in Mexico for all of her friends. Going to fly everybody down there, but here's the thing. The party will be totally alcohol-free. What? No booze at the Britney birthday bash.
How are they going to get people to go down there?
Yeah, that's my question.
Celebrating the power and love that is Britney Spears.
Right, but then you go, yeah, I'm available. I'll be there. And then you hear no alcohol, and then you go, oh, I'm not feeling well.
The party will feature virgin Britaritas, they're calling them.
Nope.
Nope, indeed. Everyone enjoy.
Nope.
To party with Britney Spears, I would need like an 8-ball of blow and just an IV of propofol just to keep me from just punching her right in the nose.
She didn't say that. She just said alcohol-free.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they'll have lots of blow, but no alcohol, because that keeps your system pure and clean.
How old is Britney now, did you
30.
Say?
She like 30. 30. Big 30th birthday party.
How long can they treat a 30-year-old like a 17-year-old, though? At some point, don't they have to let her be an adult again?
Nope. She's going to be, whatever happened to Baby Jane, she's just going to be living in a big mansion wearing pigtails at 70. It's going to be sad.
If snipers trank dart her every morning.
Here's a thing you should do, because it's for a good cause. Remember Back to the Future 2, where Michael J. Fox goes into the future?
Yes.
And he puts on those new Nikes, the self-lacing Nike sneakers. Because like, laces themselves and everything, big high tops.
Right.
Awesome shoes. For years, the Back to the Future fans, and you may not know this, but there is a hardcore of backies, or futies, whatever they call them, but the hardcore Back to the Future fans who go to conventions and they have.
Wait,
like, they're
today?
Like, yes, they're like Star Trek fans. They worship that trilogy of films. For years, they have been begging Nike to finally really make the mags, the Nike mags, the self lacing, cool, light up Nike shoes. Because they only made one pair for the movie.
Right.
And everybody, the backies, the futies, the twoies, the-ies, they say, I want to wear those shoes. And so Nike has relented and has made 1,500 pair in limited edition of the Back to the Future sneakers.
They should concentrate more on getting laid for the first time.
How dare you, sir. So they're putting them up on eBay for auction only. You cannot purchase them. You must bid on them. And all the proceeds go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. So it's a cool way to own the shoes.
All right.
And it's a great cause. So it started yesterday. It goes all the way to the 18th of September. If you go on eBay, you can bid on Back to the Future 2 shoes in your size. Not that you would ever wear them because they're collector's items. You just put them in a case or a box or something and keep them safe. But I think I went to see what my size was going for. The average bid for the pairs today, every day they have a new auction up to the 18th. But today's shoes... the bid was up to $5,000.
Yay! And that's your bid?
No, sir. I was looking to see what I could score a pair for, and the average bid seems to be hovering around $5,000 as of just recently when I looked. Mug, you're just dying to say something. You keep pushing your head closer and closer to Kevin's head.
Don't let it happen. I'll shove him away.
Yeah, that's for not five, brown rice?
No. For $5,000, do they actually auto-lace?
No, they don't.
That's weak.
That technology does not yet exist.
That's stupid.
But they do light up. Okay. So you got that going for you. And they are replicas of the shoes Michael J. Fox wore in the movie. For a mere $5,000, you can pick yourself up a pair.
Did you see the TMZ article about the shoes that they auctioned off the first pair live last night? I think Joel McHale was involved in it.
No.
Did you watch it live, Bean?
I didn't watch it.
Not enough information for me.
I didn't watch it, but the first pair of the Marty McFly shoe that Ralph was just talking about, Joel McHale did the auction last night, went for $37,500.
There you go.
Ralph.
No, I did not. I did not buy them. I am interested. I am if they get to be a reasonable price. Here's the thing: do I bid on a pair early in the auction?
No.
Or do I wait towards the end at the 18th? Because every day is a new auction. They close out the auction every day. So as they get down to the 18th, that's going to mean less and less shoes are available. So I'm thinking prices are going to skyrocket. So $5,000 might be a bargain today versus on September the 18th when the final pairs are going for who knows how many.
Or there's a limited amount of people who want to buy them for any kind of crazy money, and all those people already have theirs at crazy prices, and then, you know, what's
then,
left
then they're selling, stocking them deep and selling them cheap? Is that what you think?
Who
is
knows?
A clearance sale on Back to the Future shoes?
I'm just saying, we don't know which way it's going to go. It's tough for you
or
to
you
decide.
Spend that $5,000 on anything else.
But it all goes to a worthy cause.
Yes.
Parkinson's is a horrible, horrible disease, and I would like to see it eradicated in our lifetime. And more importantly, Michael J. Fox's lifetime. So, do it. Buy shoes for $5,000. No. I insist.
Can I just donate less?
No!
Okay.
Buy shoes.
I don't want them.
Actually, you can get like a ceramic tiny replica of a shoe, I think, for like $20.
All right, good.
And then for like $10, you get like a shoe pin. You can get a shoe pin.
Okay.
So you can donate less if you'd like. Come see me tonight with Kevin Smith at the Lovitz. Lovitz, of course, up on City Walk there at Universal Studios. Speaking of Back to the Future, you can see the DeLorean too while you're up there. Come see us tonight at 10 o'clock. Me and Kevin Smith doing our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you come. TheLovitz.com is where you can get tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays: Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics is 59 years old today. Hugh Grant is 51. I think he's going to celebrate in a car
on Sunset. Is that how he's going to celebrate?
I hope not.
Didn't go so well last time.
That was a Do you remember what a big, big story that was when it happened?
Well, yeah, because he was...
And now it's like a footnote. No one even really bothers or cares anymore.
Maybe he will then.
Yeah. 51 years old today. Constance Maria of the George Lopez Show is 46. Adam Sandler.
He introduced Bucky Larson! Are you going to go see Bucky Larson?
F that guy. 45 years old today. Rachel Hunter is 42. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family is 40. Michael Bublé... I believe his name is Bubble, but he chooses to pronounce it Bublé. Yeah.
He does insist on an accent on that final E.
Yes, he is 36 years old, and actress Michelle Williams celebrates 31 years on this planet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Late night talk show host Jimmy Fallon joins us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, how about LaQuisha, who watched last night's Jersey Shore while the rest of us were watching football? What's up, LaQuisha?
What?
What's that?
Shut up, Bean.
You're upset that we made you watch Jersey Shore?
That's right, I'm upset.
Well, somebody...
Damn show.
We were watching football. What did you want to happen?
Oh, this show. It's
is
the
your
worst
favorite?
One ever. Worst season ever, this show.
But don't you love dumb white people?
I got enough dumb white people. Okay. I'm all full up, thank you. I talk to you two every week. I got my ass handed to me by dumb white people. Last night on the show, the situation, who's just feeling so sorry for himself with bad neck pain. Oh, he's got a concussion. Oh, he's in so much pain. Who can you blame when you're in that kind of pain?
That's a great question.
I got a sprained neck, a little light concussion, and I got a neck brace on for 10 days. At least I know from now on not to bang my head into a wall anymore, because the walls in Italy are pure brick and mortar.
Yeah. Thank God, at the age of 27 or whatever he is, he learned the lesson, don't bash your head into a wall.
That most of us learned when we were three?
Younger than that. You know your head hurts when it hits a brick. That's all you need to learn. So he's moping around, bitching and moaning about his neck and his head, and he decides he's going to leave Italy. He's going to leave the house because he just can't take it anymore. Can't do anything for himself. Can't live with the pain and the isolation of being laid up. But Ronnie talks him out of it, says, no, you have to man up. You got to be who you are, situation. And he has a breakthrough.
I got a heart, and that's who I am. And I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to stay. The situation is bad.
Yeah.
He's got a heart.
He's got heart.
Listen,
that's who he is. He is able to push through wearing a piece of foam around his neck for 5 to 7 days. He can overcome that. He's like that guy with no legs who climbed Mount Everest.
It's about the same.
Same thing.
Yeah. And by the way, if you run your head into the wall, don't complain even for 1 second about the pain.
He is to complain. He can't do anything for himself. No one's taking care of him. No one has sympathy for him.
Dumb bastard.
Snooki, meanwhile, she's walking around Italy looking like a whore with her boobies all hanging out. And she's walking past a Catholic church, and I don't know how much you know about the Catholics. They are not the most pro-sex, pro-nudity people there is.
Right.
Oh.
And there was a priest on the front steps who literally yelled at her, cover up your boobs when you walk past my church.
Sweet.
And she took offense to that.
The priest was like, cover up when you come to my church. Or he basically just called me a whore.
Did you just hear what he told me?
My church, they'd be like, oh, nice outfit.
Yeah. Her church, they encourage showing off your boobs and your kooka.
She doesn't go to church.
She goes to she Our doesn't. Lady of the Perpetual Slut. That's where her church is, back in Jersey.
If that guy called her a whore, he was dead on.
Now, Snooki has problems with her boyfriend back home because they're very different kind of people. She keeps calling him on the phone, talking all sexy and whatnot, and he's not comfortable with that, and it's causing a real problem in their relationship.
Me and Gianni, opposites attract. He's, like, very, like, I would say self-conscious, but he's always worrying about what everybody thinks of him. Me, I'm the total opposite. I don't give a what you think about me. I peed my pants in public. I'm still not embarrassed. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. Just because you urinate all over yourself in public, that's no reason to be embarrassed.
Here's what I like is that all of that evidence pointed to a different conclusion than she came to.
She's a thinker outside the box. That's how she thinks. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but Sammy and Ronnie were arguing that.
No.
Yes.
What?
No. Now, apparently, there are some issues in their relationship that remain unresolved.
No way.
And Paulie and Vinny have to listen because everyone has to listen. They're so loud. They're in the other room not enjoying it.
If I have to hear Ronnie and Sam fight one more time, I will smash my head against the wall.
No, it's like listening to the same annoying record over and over and over.
Much like listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How dare you?
Same annoying records over and over, usually Red Hot Chili Peppers.
How dare you?
Oh, it's like watching the same TV show over and over and over again, only in different locations, like Miami and Italy and New Jersey.
Hey, you're talking about the Jersey Shore.
But it's the same damn show, week after week after week. Proof positive of that, Sammy has announced that she and Ronnie are back together again.
I think right now me and Ron are together. Granted, it's just tonight, like, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but considering he did speak differently tonight to me than he ever has before, I think I'm going to give it another try and see what happens.
This time it's going to work!
But the last episode, Ronnie swore to us and swore to Jesus that he was done, that he couldn't live like this anymore.
No, this time it's going to work.
Oh, dear God.
Until Jersey Shore Polar Ice Cap Edition, when they fight all over again and he beats her up with a penguin. Oh.
Like Kevin has said so many times, this is more annoying than Ross and Rachel because this is real. Please stop it.
They all go out to a club in this episode
what?
And go drinking.
What?
Yes. And Dina and Snooki get in a fight with some local Italian girls who don't like them talking to the fellas. And the drinks get thrown, and there's a lot of confusion in this fight. So much so that the fight has a surprising ending.
This girl throws a drink in my face. I go after her. I need to stick up for my girl. So I jump in, and I just go ape, you know, like a squirrel monkey. I'm pulling this girl's hair, and some girl's pulling my hair. And then I realize it's my meatball, Dina.
When they pulled the bodies apart, Snooki had been fighting Dina. They each had a handful of the other girl's hair and was punching and pulling on their best friend. Had mistakenly and drunkenly got into a physical altercation with each other.
I love it.
I only wish they had murdered each other. Well, Snooki's so upset about her boyfriend that the whole house feels they have to be a family here and come together and step in and give an intervention for her to break up with this guy back home who's making her so sad. And Snooki doesn't like that idea.
You don't do a intervention. I'm not addicted to heroin. I'm just addicted to my boyfriend's penis. That's all.
That's all.
Oh, dear God.
But if he's a bad guy, maybe you do need an intervention.
It's not just her boyfriend's either, I get the sense that she's addicted to.
Just any?
Any part in a song. But J-Wow does not apologize for stepping in and trying to help her friend out, because she's not going to just stick her head in the sand. She's not going to put on rose-colored glasses, or she has a more colorful phrase for it.
You have to understand, I'm not going to pretend everything's cheese and daisies.
That's right.
What?
She's not going to pretend everything is cheese and daisies.
That's not an expression, LaQuisha.
Yes, it is.
That doesn't mean anything.
In Italy, it means...
It doesn't mean
everything's
anything.
Everything's all rosy. Yeah, she's not going to pretend things are all cheese and daisies. And no one should. Don't go around pretending in your life that everything's all cheese and daisies.
Hey, I agree. That's good advice.
I agree so, too. So, last night's episode was not all cheese and daisies.
All
That's
right.
my review.
All right. Good okay. times.
Next
All
week?
Right.
Nope.
Next week.
No, thank you.
Talk to you next week.
I do not believe so.
All right.
Talk I will to you not next be week. Calling you next week.
Talk to you next week.
I am finished.
We will talk to you on
no
Thursday.
No more All right. of this for me.
Next week.
Goodbye.
Hey, our friend Jonah Hill is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about a movie that he has coming up called The Sitter. You know who else is in that movie, The Sitter, Kevin? It's J.B. Smoove, who yes, I believe we have on the phone right now on the Kevin Bean Show.
That's my brother Leon.
Come here, yeah.
Was he in the hurricane?
No, he lives here in L.A.
I bring the ruckus to the ladies.
5 seconds.
We got 5 seconds. Room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boring and to come out.
It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's your Mississippi?
That's some bull right there. Peanut, grab that door.
Get the door, Peanut.
Throw pepper tone up in this mother. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? That's a right there, man. Topsy turvy, that mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, what's on now? What up, Al? What's going on, boy? I hit that ass and I moved on, dog. Barack Obama, I'm the president of hitting that ass.
You getting that ass, Larry.
That's what you do. Twisted balls.
Larry just said.
Get the out of here. You got long balls, Larry. Long balls. You got long ass balls. Larry, grow a mustache, man. Grow a goatee, mustache, grow sideburns. Become another mother, man. You feel me? Yeah, you're my mother, man, Larry.
Is he the greatest?
Yo,
are you Larry, the greatest, man?
No, sir.
You are the greatest.
Let me do it, yo.
I didn't think it was possible for Curb Your Enthusiasm to get any better, but this current season, Sunday Nights at 10 on HBO, is blowing my mind every single week, and partly because of our next guest. J.B. Smoove joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
What up, guys? What's going on?
So
morning,
happy.
Morning. I say morning yawning. You know what I mean? That's why I say when it's early. I say morning yawning.
You've never said that. You've never said that once.
You always say morning yawning.
You've
morning
never said
yawning
that once. You've never
morning
one.
Yawning?
You've That's never one time said that.
Morning, morning yawning.
Nope.
It's just as much a part of getting up in the morning as going to the bathroom and relieving yourself.
You've never one time said that.
That's part of the system.
All right.
The routine in the morning is going to the bathroom.
Right. Right.
Waking up and saying, morning yawning.
Nope, no one's you know ever said that. All right.
JB, first of all, I know you've had a long and illustrious career. You've been a professional comedian for many, many years. Curb Your Enthusiasm. This has to be the greatest time of your life. It has to be so much fun to be on that show.
Man, I'm having a ball, man. Larry is a damn fool, man. you know, you can't knock a guy for setting you up, man. I mean, you can't even blame him. You know, you got to give the man credit because the man just sets you up so well, you know. It's like playing T-ball, man. He puts the ball on the tee. All you got to do is hit the damn ball. Hit the damn ball, man. That's all you got to do.
Let's talk you about know? Larry for a minute. Larry David, of course, who was the force along with Jerry Seinfeld behind Seinfeld, has his own show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you haven't seen it, you're crazy and you're bad and you're no friend of mine. But you can get it on DVD. I imagine you can get all the seasons on there. But tell us about Larry David, the man. Like, do you know much going in? Does he communicate with anybody? Did you know you were going to New York before the season? Do you see scripts? What's the? I know it's ad-libbed a great amount, but what's it like with Larry?
Larry don't tell you nothing, man. Larry's a mystery man. You know what I mean? I think Larry has this alternate life outside of the show, man. I don't know what he does. You know, I have no idea. I know the man travels. I know the man is rich. He's loaded. You know what I mean?
Right.
The man bleeds green.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, I met some of his friends. They all bleed green.
Right.
You know, I think they all have transfusions of green money within each other's circle. You know what I mean?
But
some kind of a money cult. You know, some kind of money cult. You know what I mean?
Let's just go back to the beginning. How long were you supposed to be on the show?
You know what? I have no idea, man.
He didn't tell you that either.
My motto always is this. You show up and you take a job. You know what I mean? I'm one of them dudes. I make extra jobs. You know what I mean? I create a job
right. From
a job. So what I do is I come in there, I have a good damn time, I show up on time, and I just impose my will upon you. You understand? That's what you got to do, man. You got to impose your will. You get in there, you overdo it.
Right.
It's always good to over. Hey, look, write this down.
Okay, right.
Always overdo it. Overdo it. And then have someone say, you pull back a little bit. When they tell you to pull back a little bit, then you pull back. But don't ever come in low. You come in low. You come in too low, you're going to insult somebody or you're going to turn somebody off. Like, you can't come in low
okay. With
ladies. You always overdo it with a lady.
Okay.
Let her tell you, you're hurting my leg. You know?
You're too heavy.
Now, how much of Curb Your Enthusiasm is, does he just say, here's what we want to accomplish, let's ad lib?
Yeah, it's all on outline. We get like a 7 to 8 page outline. But you know what? You know, a lot of people do read the outline. I never, since I've been on the show, have read the outline. I heard there's an outline. I know it's there. I've seen it in my dressing room. I've seen it sitting on a table like a magazine. But I've never actually opened one up because I don't like to read it because I don't like to, overthink it. I like getting to the set, put my Leon outfit on. You know, I go to the wardrobe. I get dressed. I get to the set. All I need to know is, what's going down, Larry?
Are you guys friends in real life, or are you not rich enough to be in Larry David's inner circle?
You know what I do? Here's what I do. I call Larry once in a while. I check on Larry.
Does he take your call?
I even invite Larry to go to the barbershop, the black barbershop sometimes.
Right.
Or I invite Larry to go to a black cookout once in a while just to see what he says. Just to ruffle his feathers and see if he would say, yeah, let's go.
But do you have to leave that in a message, or does he talk to you?
Yeah, he talks to me all right.
The time. He picks up.
I can call Larry on the phone and just talk to Larry. I say, what's going down, Playboy? That's
okay.
The first thing I always say. I say, what's going down, Playboy? Because Larry is now divorced, so I call Larry Playboy because I know he's a Playboy on the side.
He's not a Playboy.
Larry's a Playboy. I'm telling you, man, some things you don't know about Larry. Larry is a Playboy.
He does not strike me as a Playboy.
Well, he's single and rich. I mean, what else do you need these days? All right, JB.
Hold on. Hold on. Single and rich is very different than Playboy. Playboy is a state of mind.
Yay. But you can buy Playboy. You know what I mean?
You can buy that robe.
You can buy that robe. You can buy that cigarette.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. Those damn doors in that rich ass house. You know what I mean?
I have to ask you to tell me this story because I only heard a tiny piece of it. And our guest is JB Smoove here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He, of course, is the hilarious Leon on Curb Your Enthusiasm HBO. When you showed up for the audition, and Curb Your Enthusiasm was already a show that you watched every weekend, loved, and wanted to be on, you showed up for the audition and you walked in there and just killed it. Larry couldn't even talk. He was laughing so loud when you auditioned to play Leon. Is that true?
That's true, man. I jumped on his ass. That's my motto, man. So, you know what I mean? You got to jump on people, man. As soon as I came in the door, I already knew who this guy Leon was. I said, you know what? I know who this guy is. You know what I mean? I know people like Leon.
Right.
I came in the door. Larry was standing in the middle of the room. I had no idea that I had to improv with Larry. All I knew was I was going to go on tape.
Right.
I walked in the room. Larry was standing in the middle of the room. They said, Larry, JB, you going to improv with Larry? I walked in the door. I said, what's up, Larry? Let's get busy, baby. It's improv, baby. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do to you, man. I might miss trying to slap in the face. I don't know, Larry. This is improv. Anything could happen, Larry. And I walked away and I sat down and we started the scene and he just stood there and stared at me like, what in the hell?
That's
who
awesome.
Who the hell is this guy? And I just, you know, and from that moment on, we just hit off. We hit it off so well. We had a great time. Even our first day working together on the set, you know, Larry told me it felt like we had been working together for years.
It looks like you've been working together for years. You guys look like actual best friends on the show, and that's the chemistry is just something you can't fake.
Yep. That's the fun part about the show, and that's the thing that makes, you know, working with cool people actually worked.
It's funny, though, because his character on Curb Your Enthusiasm is, I'm sure, a lot like himself. And we had this discussion when we were talking about having you on, which is Larry David would never, ever, under any circumstances, have a roommate. It just wouldn't happen.
In real life, the real Larry would never want to have a roommate.
He would never have a roommate.
But
you come in there, you got a ticket.
He seems to get such a kick out of you that it makes sense from that standpoint. When you went to New York and you said, I'm here. Where's my room?
I'm in New York, baby.
That was the best.
I'm here, baby.
All right. Listen, we're about out of time here, Mr. Smooth, but I wanted to mention, because I know you were the guy who started the website, theruckus.com. This should be like Funny or Die for people who are looking for a comedy destination on the internet. Tell us about it real quick.
This is going to be amazing. This is going to be groundbreaking, because this is a way I can reach out to my fans. And we can reach out to each other. This is going to be a network, a community of some sorts, where we can actually connect with each other. You can actually post video. You can actually blog with me. We can. I'm also having a contest. I'm inviting people to my stand-up special in November. I'm also going to be doing a series called Lunch with Leon, where I'm going to be taking real fans and meeting them out on the road and having lunch with them, and filming it and posting it on therecords.com. This is going to be amazing. We're pulling in advertisers. We're doing branded content. We're doing everything across the board, and this is going to be a little different than what everybody else is doing.
When is your
I want people to reach out and touch me.
When is your stand-up show?
It's going to be November 21st in NYC at the Comedy Festival
in New York. Are you going to be in L.A. anytime before then? Can you come in?
I'm going to be in L.A. performing all of October preparing for it. So you are more than welcome. We should stay in contact. And I want you to come out and just give me some critique on some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
You don't want critique from us?
Very in the moment. Yeah.
All right.
The website is theruckus.com. Curb Your Enthusiasm airs.
com, baby.
Sunday nights at 10 on HBO. The great J.B. Smoove here on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
You guys are great, man. Talk to you later.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, whatever you do, don't come in low, man. Better to come in high, and then they ask you to bring it down a little bit, all right?
Okie dokie.
Good advice we just learned from J.B. Smoove.
Oh, I don't listen to your show. I'm sure it went very well. I think I was more excited to talk to him than I have been anyone in 6 months.
He's pretty great.
Freaking hilarious on that show.
He really is.
Man, he's been strong this season. HBO's had a good run. Entourage has been strong, and Curb's been strong. Boardwalk Empire comes back on the 25th of this month. It's all about the HBO.
I hear you.
Yeah. Before I get to showbiz news, Drive
is the name of the movie.
Oh.
Ryan Gosling. Carey Mulligan.
Ooh.
Albert Brooks. Ron Perlman. Bryan Cranston. Come on with this cast. You know, you don't need to sell this car, Drive, to sell this movie. You know what you don't need? Go see Drive! It's better than Bucky Larson! You don't need that guy, that douchebag. You don't need it, because this movie's got it all. It's got everything you want. It's got great acting. It's got a great premise. It's about a guy who's a stunt car driver. He's a Hollywood stunt driver. But on the side, he takes gigs as a getaway car driver. Guy's got to eat.
Sure.
Squirrel's got to find a nut.
Sure.
So he does a little work on the side, driving getaway cars for heists, until one goes bad, and then the guys involved in the heist say, "Oh, you know, we should take out that guy who drove the car for us. He knows too much."
And he's like, "What?"
And he's like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "No way." And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "What?"
Oh, don't give it all away, Ralph. I haven't seen it yet.
Spoiler alert. If you'd like to see our very special advance screening of Drive on Thursday, September the 15th. These are the final pairs of passes, last three pairs of passes I had to give away. 1-800-520-1067. If you don't win and you haven't won all week, don't despair, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 16th. And you can check it out despite their misguided font use. Just saying, that poster is.
Spokesman and the font use.
Misguided font use is all I'm saying. This is good news. Aaron Sorkin's back on television.
Yes.
All right.
HBO has just announced, while we're talking about HBO, ordered a 10-episode season of his new TV series, which is about cable TV news. It's kind of a send-up of CNN and Fox News and all the big news channels that are on cable. Jeff Daniels will star as the anchorman of that network. Sam Waterston. Waterston, rather. Hard to find a better actor than Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniels is a strange
Jeff
choice.
Jeff Daniels, you think so? I think he's great.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor.
Good actor.
He did the send-up of sports television, the ESPNs, with his Sports Night. And
yes.
Then he did kind of the send-up of sketch comedy shows like SNL with his Studio 60 show. So
yes.
He definitely has a fascination with how television runs.
I agree. Of course, he also gave us The Social Network.
Yep. That's right.
Great West Wing.
Few Good Men.
Mushrooms in the airport.
Guy knows that what happened. He's doing. And look, I like to have a few mushrooms. Who doesn't? Once in a while.
Didn't he have like mushrooms hanging out of a suitcase or something?
I don't think they were hanging out of a suitcase. I believe they were in his pants.
I think they were in his pocket. This may not be the best way to bring psychotropic mushrooms through a airport.
And we said at the time, if that's what makes Aaron Sorkin, let him have them.
We should all eat those mushrooms.
Exception. Yeah.
That's what works for him.
I agree.
Great actors in this series, and Olivia Munn will also be in.
So. Oh, wow.
How dare you.
Yeah. So
she's coming in next week. You can tell her in person how excited you are about her.
I am excited about the show. Also excited now about the Charlie Sheen roast, believe it or not. I was sort of on the fence, but they just added some more people to the dais, and now I'm very excited because William Shatner's going to be roasting Charlie Sheen.
Oh. All right.
Set phasers for Tiger Blood. Come on! Think of all the jokes he can make. Mike Tyson. Always entertaining to see Mike Tyson get up and speak in front of an audience.
He was a pussy.
Oh, yeah. You say that now. Kate Walsh. The hilarious Kate Walsh from Private Practice will be roasting Charlie Sheen.
What's and that about? The tie-in there is?
They are both people
actors?
Who
are on the planet.
On the planet, yes. Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash has been added to the cast. And John Lovitz, my old buddy John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live. And also the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up there at City Walk. He will be...
Next stop, Suckville.
He will be roasting Charlie as well, so you can check that out. It's going to be very entertaining. I believe Monday night they're filming it, and then it'll be airing on the 19th. You can check it out on Comedy Central, which I recommend highly.
Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun.
Mel Gibson is trying to make nice with the Jews.
Is he still on the apology tour?
No, but he is the man, of course, who brought us The Passion of the Christ, which many in the Jewish community claimed had some anti-Semitism in it.
Okay.
And, of course, famously, he did blame the Jews for all the wars in the world in a drunken rant one night.
Yep.
But now he's going to make nice. He has announced the plan to make another biblical epic about the life of Jewish hero Judah Maccabee. The man responsible for such holidays as Hanukkah.
I don't care.
Maccabee led the revolt against the king, retook Jerusalem, consecrated the temple, got 8 nights of oil out of that little bitty bit of oil.
I don't care.
And Mel seems to think there's a movie there. So a movie about a Jewish hero would do some repair, I think, to his standing in the Jewish community. We'll see whether he fronts it himself again. He, you know, he famously financed The Passion of the Christ all by himself and reaped the benefits of that.
Yeah. Crazy dough.
So
he's just as attracted to box office gold, isn't he? Look, story like this? How can this miss?
Everyone said the Passion of the Christ. No one wants to see Jesus carrying around a cross for 3 hours. Just not interested. Thank you. No, we will not make your movie, Mel Gibson. He made it. And then you know what? Bum.
I know. $1 billion. You're right.
That's provocative.
While we're talking about movie news, Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman have signed on to co-star in the movie version of the Broadway musical Les Miserables. Jackman will play Jean Valjean, the French revolutionary hero. And Russell Crowe will play his persecutor, Inspector Javert. So, those two on the screen singing. Can't beat that.
Could I request Bean's French guy again?
I'd love to hear that. And good news for those of you who are still making your plans to see the Michael Jackson tribute concert in Cardiff, Wales.
Don't tell me it's sold out. I haven't booked yet.
No, that's why I'm saying it's good news.
Oh, okay.
Tickets for next month's concert are now buy one, get one free. So if you're looking for a pair of tickets, you only have to cough up the price of one. They're going to throw in a second ticket at no additional charge.
What a value. Refresh my memory on how fantastic the lineup is, Ralph.
Well, Kiss won't be performing.
Right.
They were supposed to be and then are not. I'm trying to think of some of the acts they're having on that lineup. I believe the Armenian comedian will pay his tribute to it.
Oh, come on. It's better than that, right?
Denny Blaze, I think, will come by and be rapping. It'll be quite the event.
Yeah. Who's really going to be there? Wasn't it Tito and Weeby or somebody?
No, that's a different
show. No, it's a different show.
Oh,
you're
this
thinking
is a different
about a
show.
Jackson named Michael.
Right.
A Jackson named Michael is the tour that Tito and Rebe and Denise Williams are going to go on the singing and then spoken word tour, where they would tell stories about Michael and sing his songs. This tribute in Cardiff, Wales, is a bunch of celebrities who will be singing Michael's songs in tribute to him for a one-night-only appearance in Cardiff, Wales. That's happening next month, October 8th,
to keep track of.
At the Millennium Stadium. So if you've already purchased your tickets and you're going back to Ticketmaster UK and saying, hey, what about this deal? Can I get some money back? Oh, no, 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 no. But if you haven't purchased your tickets yet, they're giving you the twofer deal. And usually that is reserved for the best concerts. Usually it's a very good sign when they are giving away tickets.
On Monday, it'll be buy one, get three.
That's right. So on Monday, it'll be just show up at the door and we'll give you the best seats in the house. That's what it'll be. Usually, such policies are reserved for things like the Jingle Ball and things like that. But Wango Tango. But in this case, it's the Michael Jackson show.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics is 59 years old today. Hugh Grant is 51. Constance Marie from the George Lopez Show is 46. Adam Sandler turns 45 years old today. Rachel Hunter turns 42. Eric Stonestreet of Modern Family plays Cam on that show. Hilariously funny dude. I'm looking forward to that show coming back this fall. He is 40 years old. Michael Bublé is 36. I believe he's singing in Wales, singing Michael Jackson songs. Yeah. And Michelle Williams celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 9:43.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday, wrapping up the week with Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Let's make it a good one then, shall we?
Let's do.
Big news coming out of Hollywood that Mel Gibson has announced he wants to make a movie about the Jewish hero Judah Maccabee. This is the guy, if you're not familiar with the Jewish history, that led the revolt against the king, retook Jerusalem for the Jews, reconsecrated the temple. He was the one who was able to stretch one night of oil into eight nights of oil.
Keeping, what are you, a expert?
Keeping the lamp lit.
Easy, Mel.
And thereby creating the miracle that is Hanukkah, that we celebrate every December. And by we, I mean, you know, the Jews.
Jewish people.
I despise you.
Oh, come on, Mel.
Get easy, man.
So he wants to make a movie about this guy, and this is a bit of a surprise to a lot of the people in the Jewish community because he has not had the best relationship, let's say.
He has not been a friend to the tribe, historically.
He was accused of anti-Semitism in his film The Passion of the Christ. He made some disparaging comments drunkenly one night when he was stopped by the police.
Sure.
And now the Jews are talking to the Hollywood Reporter, saying that they are not happy with this turn of events. Not that they don't want to see that movie made, but he may not be the guy to make it.
He might do a good job with it, too.
He might.
Is he the guy you want to trust that important of a story to? Not sure.
One rabbi says it's like having a white supremacist make a Martin Luther King movie. That's the analogy he draws. So
I can see that, too.
We'll wait and see what happens with that story.
On every level.
Come on, Mel. Trying to make friends here. Michael J. Fox's sneakers are finally available for those of us who love Back to the Future 2. He went into the future and he put on the Nikes that were self-lacing. Remember those cool sneakers?
Not really.
Well, fans of the movie do, and they've been demanding that Nike actually make those sneakers for years now, and Nike's finally gotten around to it.
The laces are undone. You put the shoe on, and then the laces...
self-lacing.
Themselves.
These shoes don't really do that. But well, then they are replicas of those sneakers.
Why?
So you can finally wear the sneakers.
Did he go to when he went into the future, in Back to the Future 2?
I don't know, Marty. Let me check the flux capacitor.
2015.
Okay, so Nike's coming out with the shoes a little bit early then.
Yeah, they say the technology for the self-lacing probably won't be available until 2015, but you can get the shoe as it looks.
How did Muggs know that?
Who knows?
I'm a Back to the Future fan.
As it looks right in 2011, you can get those now. But here's the rub, if you will.
Okay.
It's a limited edition shoe. Only 1,500 have been made. And you have to bid on them on eBay in order to own them. You cannot buy them. You have to bid on them. And all the proceeds from the auctions go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research.
Sounds shaky.
All right.
What? I just... But
put in the file.
So the auctions began yesterday. They go all the way up until September the 18th. Every day, a brand new auction in all the different sizes that are available. So go on eBay and bid on the shoes, and all the proceeds go to a worthy cause.
Marty, we have to go back in time before Kevin was born, because he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that line.
Sadly, Doc never got back that time, and Kevin still walks among us.
You're welcome.
Just going to give you a heads up, if you're going to bid on him, starting bid seemed to be hovering around $5,000 per pair.
Ouch.
Bean said he saw the first pair that was auctioned off live yesterday, and apparently the final bid was, what did you say, Bean? $37,000?
I think it was $37,500, yeah.
$37,000 for sneakers.
Did you get a Google alert, Bean?
Keeping up with it? He's got a Nike Back to the Future Google alert. He's been waiting for years for that story to come around.
9 million alerts. I don't know how he lives.
I like to stay current. You guys know that.
How current do you need to stay on the Michael J. Fox shoe replica shoes that aren't the same as they were in the movie?
Live auction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like to miss anything.
No, you don't.
I get updates on what the New Horizons spacecraft on its way to Pluto is doing every day, by the way. I get those updates to my computer.
They haven't just cut it loose since Pluto no longer matters?
Nope, they're still going.
All right.
Are they really still going to Pluto?
Of course.
Why?
Because it was already in the air.
No, it was too late.
They already shot it off.
But don't they have a self-destruct program?
They still want to see it.
They're telling you it's still going. They just said, don't even pay attention to it.
Yeah. It was actually like a empty coffee can with a transistor radio inside of it. They shot with a slingshot. Hoping it might break into space, and that's all they cared about. Regis Philbin said he is retiring from the Live with Regis and Kelly program, but he's not retiring from television. Regis, who just turned 80, told the USA Today he'd love to do his own reality show.
Why does this delight the Negro?
After he steps down in November from Regis and Kelly. So we have more Regis to look forward to.
A reality show.
Yes.
Nope.
He said he's already shot a pilot.
No.
I'm surprised they haven't done more to let us in on what they're doing to replace Regis in November. Here's a show that's been on for decades. You'd think that right now they would be auditioning people during the summer vacation to replace Regis. But we don't have any clue who's gonna be the new guy.
That must be driving you crazy.
It is. I have a Google alert on Regis Philbin replacements.
There's information I don't have other people have.
There's a certain freedom in not giving an F about who replaces Regis.
Somewhere somebody knows who's going to replace Regis and I don't know. How will I live?
It is upsetting to me.
Jesus.
You're bad on every level.
So much for the bean, huh?
So much indeed. More TV news. TNT has announced a show about a crime-solving dog.
A crime-solving dog.
Scent of the Missing is the name of the show. Scent. S-C-E-N-T. Scent of the Missing.
That kind of scent.
It's about a woman and her pet golden retriever who head up a search and rescue team who save lives. All right, TNT. You good luck with that. TNT.
They can't all be home runs, Ralph. You got to have a single every once in a while.
But you got to swing at something that's in the strike zone, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Don't reach outside.
It's in the dirt.
If you reach, you know you're not going to get a hit.
Yeah, you're right.
Michael Jackson's tribute concert still going on in Wales next month. October the 8th is the date at Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, Wales. This is the tribute concert that is splitting up the Jackson family, by the way.
Oh, I hate to see a family that's never been together be split up. Both parents are into it?
No, Joe is against it. Catherine's in favor of it. I think LaToya is in favor of it. Janet is not in favor of it. It's like the Civil War. It's pitting brother against brother. I believe Marlon is on board. Tito is not.
Look,
I think Randy says okay. I think Jeremiah says
Jeremiah.
Let's not do it.
There isn't a Jeremiah. There's not a Jeremiah Jackson, I don't think.
I think Craig says I will be there. However, Lucas, not interested in participating.
Not part of the family.
It has been controversial because they've been having a hard time getting a lineup. They've been having a hard time putting the show together, but it is going ahead full speed ahead. And Ticketmaster UK has announced just today, if you buy a ticket for this show, you get one free. That's how you know it's a good show, when they start throwing in the...
they only do that with the best.
When they give you the twofers.
So, the highest demand.
So there's still a chance if you want to go to Cardiff, Wales and see the show. I'm just saying.
But we don't know anyone who's going to be there.
We don't.
Okay.
That is Stacey Keibler, the woman who's finally going to walk down the aisle with George Clooney.
Oh, dear God, no.
For the second time. He was married briefly when he was younger, but he's famously said he's not interested in getting married. But now they're saying, Stacey Keibler, this could be the one. This is the one that turns it all around, people.
Why do they say that about every girl he's with?
People are so desperate for George Clooney to get married.
Why?
Because they want to be as miserable as we are. Just kidding, honey. He's already introduced her to his parents, Nick and Nina.
Mm-hmm.
Nick's in favor of the concert. Nina's not in favor of the concert.
Oh, this is breaking families up everywhere.
It really is. He doesn't let every lady in his life meet mom and dad. It's quite the honor, apparently. And so that is an indicator to friends of George that it's getting very serious and that this may be the magic one.
But I'm with Kevin on this. Look, I like George Clooney. I enjoy his acting very much. I don't care if he's married, if he's gay, if he's... I don't care anything about his personal life at all.
I wish he was gay.
Just that I want him to make movies that are good. That's it. That's the extent of my interest in George Clooney.
Yeah, this happens every time he's seen in a 100-mile radius of a woman.
Right.
Is he going to marry her?
Who cares if he marries her or not? It doesn't matter to me at all. Why should it matter to anyone?
Want him to be gay so bad.
You still stuck on that?
Oh,
are you?
Sorry, are you guys talking about something else?
No.
Oh. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant is 51 years old today. Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics turns 59. Constance Marie from George Lopez is 46. Adam Sandler turns 45 years old today. Rachel Hunter is 42. Eric Stone Street. That's a great name, isn't it?
It is.
Eric Stone Street. Private Eye. He's not a private eye. He's an actor. Plays Cam on Modern Family. He's 40 years old. Michael Bublé is 36 years old today.
Bublé, I think,
is
how he prefers.
I'm not buying into his little weird world. Bublé.
I'm with Ralph. That's him.
Bublé. And Michelle Williams, very beautiful and talented actress, turns 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tuned in Monday morning. We got an all-new Kevin Aveen show. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin, as we do on Mondays, from TMZ.com. We have Joe Levy, the editor of Maxim, as well.
Don't bogart that joint.
Very quiet.
Very
friend.
Quiet song.
A little low, sorry.
Pass it over to me.
Don't bogart
that joint. Right, huh? Lendale?
Don't bogart that joint, my friends. Pass it over to me.
I am going to change my pants.
Roll
now
another
it seems,
one.
Now it seems loud. Now it seems like it's too loud. What's happening?
Just like the other.
I'm having trouble keeping up with this one today.
This one seems to be a quit. And we need another hit.
The penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman. But in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
It's wrong.
Like soccer, it is good.
Just like the other one.
Whoa!
This one seems to be a mountain.
STD!
I don't have another cent.
It looks like we're gonna get a reversal. Oh no! We've got vomit!
But don't walk out that joint.
Holla, beach yes.
Just pass it around.
He's gonna wanna put some ice on that.
But don't
verdict, mind blowing.
I just pass it on down.
And scene.
Caramia, why must we say goodbye?
We're going to stop it. Better we stop it. It's our decision. It's a decision that we have to take. There's no reason to continue with this. Are you okay? You're with that? You agree? Yes. Is that it? Yeah? That's it? Let's finish it. That's it. Let's go.
Anybody got any more jokes? Anything funny? No? No? All right. See you, folks.